Today's special deep dive into the winning game of Sarah Lucina is sponsored by Simply Safe. Now, we can all agree that when it comes to protecting your family, nothing is more important than safety. And Simply Safe helps you protect the ones that you love, so you'll always know that they're safe. Each Simply Safe system is a security arsenal expertly engineered to protect each access point of your home. I've been a Simply Safe customer for a couple of years. I heard an ad on a podcast just like this, and I know it was something that was important to Nicole. So we got our Simply Safe system. I was able to install it all myself. And look, and if I can do it, you can do it. It took less than an hour, and we saved hundreds on installation fees. Simply Safe is designed so that you can easily blanket your home in professional protection. 24/7 monitoring is just $14.99 a month. No hidden fees, no gotchas. That's it. It would be far more expensive to have Officer Sarah just standing out there on patrol. So go with Simply Safe. No long-term contract. Simply Safe will never lock you in because they earn your business every single day. To find out why millions of Americans trust Simply Safe to protect their loved ones, go to simplysafe.com/dad now. That's SIMPLISafe.com/dad. Order today. You get an extra 10% off plus free keychain remote and free shipping at simplysafe.com/dad. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino, and I'm very excited for this episode of the podcast today because we are going to be speaking with the winner of Survivor Game Changers, and we're going to do our long-form interview with Sarah talking about everything that she did in Season 34 to get to the end. I've always enjoyed going through everything with the winner after the season. It's become a bit of a tradition here. Actually, a little bit of a bookend that Tony was the first one of these interviews that we did back after Survivor Cagayan, and since then we've done one with Tony, with Natalie, with Mike Holloway, with Jeremy, with Michelle, with Adam, and now ultimately Sarah, and it's always some great insight that we didn't get from just watching the show. So we should have a lot of fun here today with Sarah. It's been a very busy week on the podcast. On Monday, we dropped our RHAP 2000th episode special. That's over 4 hours of highlights of me talking with a number of people that I spend a lot of time with making these podcasts. So if you have not heard that yet, I strongly suggest you give that one a shot. And then also my new audiobook with Taryn Armstrong, But First, a Big Brother 2 blockumentary. We dropped the first 3 hours of that in the podcast feed. If you want to give that a shot, that's available for you. The whole 19-hour audiobook is available for you to purchase as well at robisthewebsite.com/BB2. Plenty more coming up. We've got off-season podcasts coming up with Mike Bloom and another one about the psychology of the social game as well later this week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robisthewebsite.com/iTunes. Before we get Sarah on the line, let me just thank one more of our sponsors for this podcast, and those are our friends over at Denny's. Denny's has always been a place where America can come get their favorite breakfast, lunch, and dinner dishes, serving guests whatever they want, whenever they crave it. But now, with Denny's On Demand, they've taken the same always open philosophy that's synonymous with their restaurants and applied it to online ordering, bringing access to craveable diner fare wherever Denny's guests want it. Thanks to the new platform, guests have a quick and easy way to place mobile or online orders for takeout or delivery of their favorite menu items all day, every day. If having your favorite Denny's dish available at your fingertips 24/7 isn't enough, Denny's is now partnered with Hulu to give guests a free 60-day trial of the premium streaming service. That's right. For a limited time, if you place an order with Denny's On Demand, you'll get a complimentary Hulu trial, and you'll be able to enjoy your meal while binge-watching thousands of hit shows, premium original content, films, and much more. So with Denny's On Demand, new online ordering, your diner favorites are at your fingertips. Visit Denny's.com and click to order online or download the Denny's app.
I would.
All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring in our guest today to talk about a masterful run here in Survivor Game Changers. She came in the cop, but she played like the criminal. Here she is, the winner of Survivor Game Changers, Officer Sarah Lucina. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Sarah, very excited to get into this. There was really so many moves down the stretch where you were sort of the key person between which side was going to have the numbers. You went back and forth so many times after the merge. Did you have any idea that it was going to be this crazy of a run for you in this game?
No, I thought the game would be more like spread out as far as power moves going. And, you know, I try not to, some things will come across as though it's cocky, but I just want to like, I'm just real blunt when I say things. And I think I was one of the only people that was like allowed to make moves in the game because of the positions I was in. And absolutely, when I saw who the cast was going to be, I'm like, that's not going to be me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was pleasantly surprised. I knew I had the ability, but yeah, I think I really came in prepared to play this time.
Okay, well, I can't wait to dive into everything. It's been about 3 weeks since the finale aired. What has life been like since you became the winner of Survivor?
It's just back to normal and pretty boring. I came home. I left that Thursday after the finale, and then I was the Monday was a holiday, and I was back to work on Wednesday. So, yeah, life is completely the same as it was before, and just trying to pay the IRS so I don't wind up in
that's a big
the real
thing.
Criminal. Yeah.
What about people at work? Is anybody like busting your chops about anything with winning, or is that weird at all to sort of like you were on TV, you were on the show, you went out there, you came back the winner, and then here you are back at work?
The rumor, Wyatt, my husband, also is a police officer at the same department, so he works overnight, so he works a different shift than me, and a lot of people were asking him, you know, is Sarah going to come back? And I think pretty quickly people realize it's not enough money to retire on, but it sure makes life a lot simpler. Mm-hmm. And everyone at work has been super supportive and really, really genuinely happy for me and my family. So it's been a really nice, you know, welcome home. And like I said, life's the same, just a little bit easier.
What about your son? Was Knox able to watch the show? Did he get at all like what was going on, why mom is on TV?
No. So, okay. Knox is going to be 3 in the end of August. And so I was really excited for him to watch the show because I thought that he would think it was cool to see me on TV. So the very first episode, we're trying to get him to pay attention and he's not interested at all. And I'm like, come on, buddy, you know? And so probably we go 7 or 8 weeks in and he's not even, he won't even watch. We're like, Knox, there's mommy on TV, and he doesn't care. Well, I think it was the episode before the finale. It finally clicked in his head that I was on TV, and then we couldn't get him to shut up during the show. And so we were kind of like, oh, maybe we didn't want him to know that I was on. So, yeah, he really didn't even comprehend it until the last couple episodes, but, sure, he'll be able to watch it in the future.
What was he saying?
He would just go, mommy, mommy. And so we can't hear what's going on because the louder we would turn up the TV, the louder he would go, mommy on TV, mommy on TV. And we're like, yes, Knox, that's mommy. And like, it's funny because Wyatt gets into the show like a lot. And I was out there, so I knew like what happened. So if I didn't get to hear something, it was okay. But Wyatt really wants to hear what's going on. And he's like, Knox, come on, buddy. We know that's mommy. Just give me a second. And he was having to pause it constantly and rewind. And so it definitely made it challenging watching it with him. And I think it was maybe 2 episodes, but one for sure that we had to go through that.
Of course, we all know your background coming from Survivor Cagayan, but I feel like I don't know a lot about you from before Survivor Cagayan and how much that you were sort of like in the ecosystem of Survivor and how much you had seen before you went out to go be on the show. So what first got you interested in being on Survivor Cagayan?
Well, I was like a casual viewer. If I started watching a season, I would obviously finish it. If I missed a season, it didn't break my heart. And then in season 25, when Denise Stapley was on.
Your neighbor.
Yeah. We live like 2 miles apart from each other. And I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. Someone, you know, from Cedar Rapids, Iowa can go on a show like this. That's just nuts. So I started looking into the application process online, and because, you know, I think 27 at the time, and I just thought it would be really fun, a good experience. And I just fill the application out. I send a video in, and that was a chore in itself. Ken Raskoff at the time was the,
yes.
Ken's so great.
And he's a friend of mine, too, and
he's always spoken
very highly of you the first time around that he was felt like that. What a great character this is that we found for the show.
Right. He calls me his Fargo. And
yeah.
He would say at his desk, he's got a picture of, you know, the lady. He's going to kill me for not knowing the names and things like that. And I still have not seen Fargo. In 4 years since I've met Ken. But he's like, you are my Fargo. Like, my mission is accomplished. I have conquered what I was set out to do, is finding my Fargo. And like, so I guess I just remind him of it. And he'll always put these inside jokes between us, on social media. But what's funny about it is I don't even get them he's hilarious, but he'll type something. I literally will have to like Google it to see what he's even talking about.
Yeah. He's been on the podcast way back when, and we talked about what people need to be doing for casting. He doesn't work in casting anymore, but I saw him for like 10 seconds coming. He was coming out of the finale after party, and I was going in, and he was like, she did it. She did it. He felt so vindicated by your win. So it wasn't just you as the winner that night.
Right. No. And honestly, he reached out to me I could tell he was just proud of me, and mm-hmm. and it meant a lot. I mean, he's the reason that I had this opportunity. He's the one that convinced, you know, Lynn to take a look at me. And so, I'm forever grateful for what Ken did for me.
So you knew the show a little bit, and you came into Survivor Kagyan. That one thing I remember about you going into Survivor Kagyan, I remember seeing videos of you doing mixed martial arts. Is that something that was something that you just did a little bit of, or were you ever serious into that?
So I started doing mixed martial arts in like 2009, and I fought through 2.5 or 3 years. It all kind of started, you know, when I started the police department, I was single. And when you work 40 hours a week, what do you do with the rest of your time? And one of my coworkers, he was actually fighting and whatnot. So I just, I've always been an athlete. I ran track and cross country in high school and in college, played golf, in high school and soccer. So it comes down to, I just can't really sit still. And so I really just dove in headfirst into mixed martial arts, and I was successful at it in the early days because, like, you have to train full time now to be successful, mm-hmm. and I have a full time job, so it came to a point that I was getting at the level of competition where the people I was fighting were training full time, and I had a full time job, and I wasn't going to quit my job to be an MMA fighter. So that kind of was what sealed the deal for my MMA career.
Well, you know, I've talked to Zeke after the season. I've talked to Aubrey after the season, and both of them had a similar story where they played, and then it was a quick turnaround for them in terms of where Aubrey, her season hadn't even aired and they were asking her to come back, and Zeke only had about 2 weeks off. But you had a longer layoff in about, what was it, basically 3 years from now. So probably over 2 years of a layoff. Now, was going back to Survivor something that you were seriously thinking about, or was it a little bit of like, oh, I hadn't been thinking along this route of going back and playing again. This is a lot for me to sort of like start the process.
I think if you talk to 90% of Survivor players, everybody has this desire to go back and play, especially if you have unfinished business. You know, I felt like my game in Kagyan was really cut short, and it was due to my own mistakes. But when you know where you messed up, and I saw my potential, you know, what gets shown on air compared to what actually was happening are two different things. Because if I'm not a part of the end story, I don't get this great performance in Kagyan then, because it's just pointless. And so, I know when I was brought back for the season, a lot of people are like, why is she brought back? But I knew my potential, and clearly production did too, because they asked me back for a season called Game Changers. So, but again, I can see why the average viewer is like, what? So yeah, I ever since I left the game in Kagyan, every single day for 3 years, I thought about playing again. And especially, you know, when they make the calls kind of in January or whatever to see who's interested in playing, you know, you start checking your phone. Mm-hmm. Did I miss a call? You know, who's texting me? Oh, there's an LA number or whatever. And, you know, your heart gets going, and it's very consuming. And I think a lot of survivors go through it. So when I finally got the call and I knew I was a lock, it was like relief. I was getting my second chance at redemption. And then I was fortunate enough to win to where I don't have that obsessive thought every day anymore.
Would you consider to go and play again, or it's just like everything would need to sort of line up to be perfect for you to think about doing it again?
Yeah. So everything would have to line up perfect for me to play again. I just feel like I've kind of closed that chapter, and I know people don't like to hear when like that the door's just completely shut to it. So I would never say absolutely not, but you know, things would have to be right. And I don't know that I could win again, and I don't need to go for the experience. Somebody else can have that opportunity, because I've gotten out of Survivor what I've wanted out of it. So, mm-hmm. For me, yeah, it'd have to be the right circumstances for me to ever go back.
Yeah, I think it would be very tough to go back, especially after you played, you know, the game as aggressively as you played it this season. You know, we saw like that, you know, how difficult it was for Tony to readjust. Mm-hmm. And now there's a whole thing with going after winners. And it's a lot of extra stress on the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was able to prep this time to go back and play, and Wyatt and I, you know, we would like strategize nightly about how I could play the game and what would I do in certain scenarios. And at this point, I really don't even know both ways that you could play the game I've played now. So what do I have to turn to at this point?
Do you feel like that's a conscious decision a Survivor player needs to make? I'm going to wear the white hat or wear the black hat going into the season?
I think it's good to have a game plan, but you also have to, I mean, being flexible and being able to adapt is the biggest key. But you can't go in there just, oh, well, we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't think that that's appropriate, because you want to run through scenarios, but you can't be closed-minded, because that's how I was in Kagyan. Is Cass really decided, I don't want to work with Sarah, when the point I said, I won't write Trish's name down because Trish was my friend. And so that was a huge flaw in the game of Survivor. Even though you're friends with people, you have to be willing to write anyone's name down, because at the end of the day, only one person wins. And do you want it to be you or your friend? Well, of course you want it to be you. It was things like that I decided beforehand that absolutely, if it comes down to the X, Y, or Z, this is what I'm doing, you know?
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the beginning of Game Changers. And I feel like that we got to see a lot more of what was going on at the Mana camp, whereas a lot of the stuff going on in the beginning of Nuku, especially in those first 2 hours, really centered around what was going on with Ozzy and Suri. So what were things like for you in the first 5 or 6 days of the game before that first swap?
You know, okay, we loved Nuku. We all got along well, but for me, it was really stressful because I knew my plan going in was to be everybody's like number one, you know? Well, what's hard about that is when you're on a tribe of 10, now you have to manage 9 separate relationships plus ones that are a threesome or a foursome, you know? So I remember after we won the first challenge, going into one of the, my confessionals and saying, I'm so thankful that we won because, my head is spinning right now on which direction to even go, because there was a division, but Nuku was great. Our original Nuku tribe, everyone really got along, but I'll tell you, Sari was the solid target for everyone. She would have been voted out had we ever lost as original Nuku. She would have been voted out had we lost at Tavua.
Oh, really? With Troyzan being there? Or is that because of that? Did more people know about his idol?
No, nobody knew about his idol until he played. Brad and I knew about his idol at the pasta dinner. He revealed that. But otherwise, Troyzan kept that completely quiet. But no, it was Ozzy kind of had it out for Sari at Nuku. And then obviously that carried over to Tavua. JT didn't really want to work with Sari. And then JT's like this good old boy that everybody wants to work with. So when, and Ozzy's this provider. So when you have these alpha males that are pretty much running the show at that point, Sari doesn't stand a chance, you know? And she knew it too. She was just really, really lucky she didn't go to tribal before the merge, because she probably would have gone home.
So in the early days of the game over at Nuku, you're making all these bonds with people. Now, when you are talking with everybody, are you able to get in so good with people because you are talking with them about strategy, or do you not talk a lot of strategy and that's how you end up making bonds with all these people?
Yeah, I wouldn't talk really any strategy early on. That was another thing that I think people should not do, is don't be the one putting names out there. Let other people bring the names up, because if they are going to bring a name up to you, they feel comfortable with you. That's a way to tell that, you know, they trust you. I mean, unless they're, you obviously have to sift through everything that you're told. But if someone's like refusing to put a name out there, that's a big telltale that they don't trust you, you know? And so I would just kind of, people had this perception that I was going to play this really loyal game, and I knew that going in, and that's where I had an upper hand going in. So I would just kind of BS with everyone and just laugh and joke around. And you, once you build that foundation of your relationship, then the rest can progress pretty quickly. Because trust is the big thing. So instead of trying to strategize first, build the trust, then strategize.
And do you feel like that you just had this image where people were coming to you and approaching you about being in whatever they were doing? Or did you have to go and make the first move and sort of like introduce yourself to a lot of these people?
Yeah. No, I would introduce myself to a lot of the people. The first person I even talked to was Sari, and we called it, it's funny because we're walking off and we're picking up firewood. We're just minutes into the game at the beach. And, I go, this is like that awkward first date. I go, let's just get our first kiss out of the way. Mm-hmm. I want to work with you. Do you want to work with me? We like accepted each other's, you know, proposal, and that's how it started. So we always called that our first kiss.
Yeah.
And it was funny because that is kind of what it's like. Like, do you want to say it? Are you going to make the move? Am I going to make, okay, yeah, let's do this. So, you know, that's not strategizing, but that's like the relationship building, like, yes, let's work together. And what I knew about Sari playing in her other seasons was she sticks with the people she starts the game with. You know, mm-hmm. So I loved playing with Sari, but again, it goes back to, if she was the target, I was going to go with it, you know?
Right. That idea of courtship is a really fun one when you're talking about Survivor, because I do think that there are a lot of parallels. Like in a perfect world, you know, you're like the Bachelorette, where, you know, you have all these different suitors like trying to go for you. But, you know, the opposite way, where it's like if you're the person who's going out asking everybody out, I think then that sort of like gets back when people start like, oh, did he talk to you? Did he talk to you? Oh, okay. Well, this guy, you know, he's trouble. Let's get rid of him. So there are some little parallels between those two things.
Sure. And I think I didn't get to play with her, but from what I heard, I think that's what Sierra Easton was doing. And so it was a huge turnoff to people because they're like, geez, she's talking to everybody. The way I did it was I made sure if I talked to you, it wasn't this, I'm pulling you off. We're talking one-on-one to where you can, where everyone can see this going on. It was really extremely private. And then I would basically tell people, no, you know, things like nobody will expect us working together, so let's keep this completely quiet. And so basically, and that should be a red flag to people too, if they play and someone wants you two to be this quiet couple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, well, why are you embarrassed of me? You don't want people to know we're together. And,
right.
And you can use it as a tool to get people to keep their mouths shut.
Yeah. Sarah, that's the same in dating too. If you're out with somebody and they're saying like, hey, let's just keep this quiet. So that means that there's other people in the picture.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you would think that these red flags, I mean, I put red flags up everywhere, but everybody just ignored them because I think they went in thinking that I was going to be extremely loyal.
They just did not have a complete picture of who you were as a player. In some ways, you know, sort of like having a edit that maybe didn't feature everything that you were doing the first time you played really did help you the second time around.
Yeah, exactly. And so I played very similarly my first time. You know, I was the odd man out on that swap, and the brains were wanting to get rid of me in Cagayan, and I really had to build those relationships, and I did with Spencer and with Jeremiah, and I was able to get into where we voted Alexis out and whatnot, but that didn't get shown, and that was okay for me going back, because that's like my secret weapon. You know, mm-hmm. I got so much crap when I would say the I have a phenomenal social game. I really do though. Like, I don't think you can deny it at this point. And so again, when people are like, geez, why is she brought back? Well, from what you've been shown, I completely understand why people are saying that, but know that the producers that are bringing me and Haley and Sierra and people like that back, they have seen something else from us. So they're not just, you know, picking out lumps of coal that are just going to sink in the game. Now, I mean, some people didn't do really well, but Survivor has to be a perfect storm. I really believe that.
No, it's a good lesson, especially for people that return to the game, and also people, idiots like me that talk about the game. When somebody wins, they tend to look smarter than they actually were in the season. And when they lose, they tend to look a lot dumber than they actually were in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, because, I mean, the winner can't get a terrible edit, right?
Right, right. But even, you know, somebody like Brad Culpepper, who we got to see in a much bigger dose this time around, where we said, oh, okay, well, he's going to be a nightmare when he comes back, and like he'll be fighting with everybody the whole time. Then we really didn't see that this season. So it really just is, you can't take too much away from what you see on television.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to remember, the episode is like 43 minutes long.
Yeah.
If you have 3 days of filming, in that 43 minutes also, they're doing a tribal council and a challenge, you know, so the amount of camp life you're actually getting is very small. And then they're trying to spread out the airtime amongst everyone. And you have to, you know, the conversations that are being shown have to fit the story. And if it doesn't fit the story, you know, like, for example, Troyzan didn't have a huge role on air in this season at all. But a lot of my game would not have been possible without Troyzan. But
why? Why do you say that?
So Brad and I, like, I like Brad outside the game and everything, but he can be very hard to work with sometimes. And well, we're both just like stubborn and bullheaded. And I would really try to not be that way out there. But it would get to a point where Troy was the glue that held me and Brad together, because sometimes like Brad would be so mad at me that he wouldn't want to talk to me. And then Troy would have to come relay between me and Brad what's going on. And then Brad and I would literally communicate with a thumbs up or thumbs down, like if we're good. And we didn't even talk to each other. Troyzian was the one that facilitated all of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there's not enough time to show things like that. And then you also have to remember that when Troyzian gets zero votes in the end game, you know, so the producers, when they're editing it to show it, they already know he gets zero votes. So at this point, they have to show why he gets zero votes. And if they show that he was the glue that held us together, then people are going to go, well, geez, then Troyzian got gypped and he should have won, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Because it just doesn't fit the story at the end of the day.
So going back to this early phase of the game, you guys are about to go through a swap. But before you swap, you see that Tony has been voted out of the game. Was this a relief for you to see that Tony isn't there, or were you disappointed? Because you mentioned on the finale you'd been talking to Tony, that he was sort of like you guys were pushing each other. So was there a plan to get together with him if you met up in the game?
Well, yes and no. Tony and I absolutely 100% no pregame alliance, and he presents it. I would have, you know, I wanted to go into the game with some friends, but Tony was like, Sarah, we're talking in real life right now. If I have to write your name down out there, then you have a reason to be mad at me as like a person. But if I write your, if we don't have this pregame alliance, then you can't be mad at me if I write your name down. That's like how he presents it to me. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, and he goes, but know that I'm not gunning for you, but know that I will write your name down. And I'm like, all right, Tony. And so, but that was good to have that. So I knew he definitely wouldn't like headhunt me right away, even if we were playing together. But if they said Sarah's going, he would have been like, okay, you know, he wouldn't have stuck his neck out for me, and I wouldn't have done it for him either. We were both playing a game for ourselves and for our families. And so when I see that he's gone, I was definitely disappointed, because here's the other thing. I've seen him at Ponderosa for, you know, 6 days before the game even starts. And I don't get to talk to him at all. So I've gotten to see Tony now for like a week total and haven't even got to talk to the guy. And I haven't seen him in person since our last finale, and we're friends. And so it really, I was like, dang, I would have liked to spend some time with him, because he really is a lot of fun and a lot of energy.
Sarah, I think a lot of people want to know, how did you and Tony get back on the same page? That the last we saw from you guys, I think it was in the Kageyan finale, I think that Jeff is asking if you guys are friends and there's still some awkwardness between the both of you at the Kageyan finale. So at what point did you guys end up sort of mending that fence?
Like right after that, we realized it's just a game and it is what it is. And really, it's Tony not letting me be mad at him. He would call me every single day and be like, yo, Sarah, you can't be mad at me, bro. And I'm like, Tony, if I want to be mad at you, I can be mad at you. He's like, no, yo, you can't. That was a game. This is real life, bro. And I'm like, and I would just get these phone calls or text messages every single day. And it just gets to a point where it's like, you know what? I've already voted for him to win $1 million. Yeah. He's already got a check. He's still reaching out to me. He's not doing this out of manipulation or anything. He truly wants to be my friend. And so, once you realize things like that and you realize you guys went through an experience together that a lot of people aren't going to, there's no sense in like being mad and bitter about it. And we have a ton in common. Like I said, he's just really fun to talk to.
And it was like a weird feud, because it wasn't necessarily from during the game. You mentioned that you went back and you voted for him at the Final Tribal Council, that you guys were fighting about stuff that came out, you know, was it in confessional or on social media?
No, it was social media. So on my exit press day, this is when they had us like go out to LA, and I think I was like 22 weeks pregnant, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm already hormonal, and I had to fly out to LA. I had to watch the boot episode by myself in the hotel room. And now my phone's blowing up from my family back home, my friends, 'cause they didn't know I was going home that night. And so I'm dealing with all of this. And then I start to do my exit press. And before I know it, my phone is blowing up because Tony's just slamming me on Twitter because I'm saying things like, you know, I would never swear on my badge because I wouldn't dishonor our profession. And then he just starts ripping on me. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where it all started. It's like, you know, you jerk off. Like, do you realize I just got kicked off? I already know you're winning $1 million. Can you just hold your tongue and let me have my day? Cause you're going to have yours. And then that's kind of where it started. So, but yeah, we're fine now.
Tony played social media that season the way he played the game, where he was just right. He was just all over the place. He was in every conversation. Like
sleepovers and
yeah.
So yeah, and I mean, come on, is that not one of the funniest stories ever?
Yeah, I mean, that whole season, I love Kagyan, and I think that you coming back and winning, I think, just only enhances that. It's another reason to love that season of the show. There's so many great characters. Really is still one of my all time favorites. Okay, so you swap to Tavua. You mentioned that Suri would have been the target. How do you feel about the makeup of this tribe where you have five Nuku people, you have Troizan there, and were you the only person that was talking to Troizan?
I think Ozzy had a brief conversation. I know Zeke was reaching out to Troizan, and then Suri and Andrea really weren't. So yeah, me and Zeke probably were reaching out to Troy the most. And Troizan and I had more one-on-one conversations than what got shown. But of course, that's why I don't like when the season swaps to three tribes, is two of the tribes are going to get real minimal airtime because whatever tribe loses has to go to tribal council. So they have to show that. So it's really hard to split the time between, especially if we're winning and Tavua never loses or goes to tribal council. So you almost forget that Tavua was even a tribe, you know? Yeah. We got like nothing from there, and we actually had a lot of fun times. It was actually like a really funny group, and we were laid back, and it was like hanging out, almost like Big Brother, you know, in the house versus being out there and being so conniving. Cause we really had a great tribe. People thought the new Mana was going to be a powerhouse, but I mean, we've got Ozzy, Andrea. Andrea is a challenge beast. Like people don't realize how good she actually is. I thought I was good at challenges. I didn't even win a single one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so that tells you like she's phenomenal. And then so is Ozzy. And I would say like I'm a good sidekick for them. Maybe not so good on my own, but a good sidekick. And then Zeke's great at puzzles.
Yeah,
so,
and Suri too.
Well,
no, she's not good at puzzles?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I think the only reason people think Suri's good at puzzles is because Suri's always doing the puzzle. So if you're always doing the puzzle and then you win here and there, it makes you look like a puzzle master.
You say Zeke was carrying that tag team.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And if you go back and watch the puzzles Suri did, not just in the, which one was it? The fish puzzle with the spa reward, you know, she was doing that with Sierra Dawn Thomas and we lost that. And Zeke was rivaling them and he completed that one. Then on the helicopter reward with the reinventing how the game is played, she doesn't solve that either.
Yeah.
You know, and then Haley gets the metamorphosis thing. So, yeah, I don't think you can credit a single puzzle win to Suri.
I don't want to spend a lot of time in this version of the tribe because you guys don't even go to a tribal council here. But then you guys go back down to two. And, you know, it's worked out very well where you sort of have stayed with the same group. When you go down to is this technically Mana or Nuku that you end up going down to?
It's new Nuku.
It's new Nuku.
new Nuku.
And yes. So here you are. You're still with Ozzy. You're still with Andrea. You're still with Zeke. And then we get Ty back in the mix, plus Jeff Varner and Sandra.
Yes.
And then ultimately Debbie will join you guys as well.
Yep.
Eventually.
Yeah. So it couldn't have worked out more perfect because, you know, the odd one out on that group was Suri at Tavua. We would have voted her out and now she's off with Mana. So I'm 100% solid with the original Nuku, you know, on the new Nuku. And then Varner and Sandra are clearly on the outs.
Right. And so when I spoke with Zeke in the last one of these interviews that I did, he mentioned that Ozzy, from the moment you guys got to that group, he wanted to get rid of Sandra, and you guys actually threw that challenge. Is that, can you confirm that?
Yes. So Ozzy originally said, hey, let's throw the challenge and get rid of Sandra. I was, you know, a little leery about it in the beginning, and so was Zeke, because we're like, well, if we get rid of Sandra, we only have Varner to vote out before we have to start eating our own. Is this really, like, do we need to make the move now? And Ozzy's like, yeah. Well, what really, I think, pushed that move over the edge was Debbie was in good with us, too, from the original Nuku. So we knew that whoever lost was going to gain Debbie. And we wanted Debbie with us versus her going over to the Mana tribe. And so it was like killing two birds with one stone why we did that. And you can clearly see, if you go back and watch the episode, how much we were not trying. And when you have me, Ozzy, and Andrea in the back pushing, and we put Sandra and Varner in the front pulling, we're not even pushing. And that's why it looks like our cart's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely, we threw that. Ozzy pitched it. But we were also a little leery of it, too, because Ozzy's wanting to throw it because he's like, we don't want Brad to get voted out on the Mana. And so Zeke and I were really close, and we're going, okay, does Ozzy have the same motives that we do for throwing it? Our motive is to get Debbie, but is Ozzy's motive to save Brad? Because if so, we don't know that Brad's completely with us at this point.
So a couple of things about that. One, in the real time of the episode, it's funny because we got a lot of feedback of like, hey, did Survivor create the situation where they knew that both tribes wouldn't try to throw the challenge because the loser would get Debbie? It's funny to hear you say that you guys did throw the challenge because you wanted to get Debbie back on the tribe. And for you, was there any hesitation to try to throw the challenge? Because if I recall, the last time you tried to do this, to throw a challenge to go out and get rid of Cliff Robinson, this did not work out for you.
Because it was a basketball challenge. It's like the worst thing that could ever happen is, hey, let's try and throw the challenge to get rid of the NBA.
And the brains were so bad, right?
And then we show up and they're like, and to finish it, you're going to shoot these baskets in a hoop, or these balls in a basket. And we're like, what? And so we're trying really hard to still throw that, and I'm in the water swimming to throw the balls back to Cliff, and everyone lands short. The brains were so bad, like we couldn't even accomplish that. Mm-hmm. So we attempted, but yeah, definitely I was leery, just because I didn't like having the cushion of only being able to vote out Sandra and Turner, and then it's going to be one of us, and I didn't want it to be me. I thought maybe, we don't know, are we really going to have a merge of 13 people? I was thinking more like between 10 and 12, probably. So in the event that we lose two more, we have to pick one of our own to vote out then.
Mm-hmm. With Sandra going out, was there any sort of like a relationship with Sandra that you were having a conversation with her at all? Or did, and nobody just gave her a chance to even get a foot in the door?
So we were only with Sandra for, I think, 2 days, and any conversation with Sandra was just normal, conversation, but it was nothing about the game. The only game talk that was brought up would be when she would bring it up, and she really wouldn't pressure us at all, but she would make certain that we knew how dangerous the Ko-Rong 4 would be. Mm-hmm. And she would continuously try to put that in her heads, like, listen, you guys. And she wasn't that far off. I mean, Aubrey and Ty went out 4 and 5. So she's kind of right with what she's saying, is whenever there's, you know, 4 from a season on a returning season, two of them make it to the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was some merit to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And but she also gave us every example of it happening, you know, Cambodia, with Tasha and Spencer sitting in the end and Cass and Wu. So that made up that foursome. And then she cited another season. I don't remember at this point, but yeah, so she definitely was
yeah,
almost
her math checks
up.
Out on that.
But other than that, she wasn't being pushy or anything like that with us. And we would just have conversations with her, just normal. I mean, nobody ignored her, but yeah. I really enjoyed her out there.
Right. And you confirm that everything, you know, that was going on with Ty at that tribal council, that was all theater.
Oh, my gosh. So when we go into that tribal council, you know, we're all like, hey, just nobody panic. Like, we know what's going on. Right. Right. And because this is our first tribal council we've gone to since the last time everybody's played. So we haven't, you know, there's a little ring rust there. And we get in there and Ty just plays it up so much to the point where I'm like, wait, you really just threw Ozzy's name out there to Sandra? Like, Ty, what do you think? Like, you didn't have to go that far. And so now I'm wondering, okay, is he going to flip? And then Andrea acts like she's considering it. And I'm going, wait, I need to know what's going on here.
Yeah, is this real? Is this a drill?
Yes. And so once I truly wasn't, that was the one vote I was not 100% sure how it was going to go out of the entire game. I thought that's what was going to happen, but I did not feel confident that that was going to happen. So when we get back actually from that tribal council, we kind of ripped Ty's ass about it. And we're like, look, you don't have to go that far. He's like, you guys, I was just playing. And we're like, yeah, you were playing too much. Like, you scared all of us. So, yeah, that was pretty funny though.
Had you already made that bond with Ty? I know that towards the end of the game, he talked about how you guys were both so close that, was that from the original Nuku or did that come post-merge?
Original Nuku, like the very first tribe. But I'll tell you about Ty is he... Sari, JT, and myself were down cleaning one of the chickens. One of the chickens had died in the marooning, so we ate it that first night. Mm-hmm. And Ty comes down, and he just says to the four of us, or to the three of us, what do you guys think about us four to the end? And we all look at him like, what? Like, you just said this? So, of course, everybody agrees to it. Nobody says no ever to when someone proposes that. But then, like, the next day, Ty comes up to me and goes, so, me, you, and JT to the end. And I go, well, what about Sari? And he goes, oh, you want to work with Sari? I go, Ty, just yesterday you said you came up to us and said us four. And he goes, I did? I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, so, I mean, those are the red flags right off the bat that you're like, you're not keeping straight what you're saying to people, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved him. He has the best heart, and he's a great guy.
Okay, so once Sandra is out, of course, we get to this vote where Varner ends up going out of the game. So before all of that craziness happens at that tribal council, it does seem as though in the episode that you are seriously considering the pitch that Jeff Varner is making. Were you just hearing him out, or did you feel like that he was making some sense at that point?
No. So really what happened was on the show, and this is my opinion of what happened, on the show it says Zeke told Varner, you know, it's a 50-50 shot, you're going home. As I recall out there, Zeke told Varner 100% it's you, you're going home. And so Varner knew that he was going home at that point, because then he basically tells me that Zeke said that the girls are going to throw you under the bus and tell you that you're not. And then Andrea and I got really mad at Zeke. Like, what the heck? Why would you, you know, first of all, that you don't tell the person who's going home that they're going home. And then second of all, why would you say that we're going to lie to him and not give us a heads up that you did this? Because Varner wasn't thinking. He could have created a whole different, you know, storm had he let me lie to his face. And then he could have called me out for being a liar and things like that. Instead, he just said, this is what Zeke told me. And so I never had a chance to even lie to Varner. And then at that point, it's like, well, yeah, this is what's going on. So he knew he was going home. And I think that's what fueled his desperate attempt to stay in the game, like by making the worst possible decision, you know, how did he expect that to turn out? I think he was so thirsty to make the merge that he was going to go to any length and do whatever he needed to do. And if he was so mad at everyone because we're crushing his Survivor dream, that he's going to take everyone down with him. I think that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, and you were really outspoken during that tribal council where you ended up talking about, you seemed the one visibly annoyed with what Jeff was trying to spin, Jeff Varner was trying to spin during that tribal council. And then you also talked about how, you know, how you would have never met a person like Zeke. When the episode aired, that I heard criticism from people that it was like you were trying to make that moment about yourself. I didn't see that that was the case. Did you hear that from people?
Yeah, I did. And well, okay, here's the thing. First of all, I don't edit the tribal council. So if that's what you see in the edit, that tribal council was an hour and a half long. All right. Every single person spoke and told their own story. Ty tells a story about how it's not okay for you to out anyone ever because you don't know if they're at a safe spot in their life to out somebody, you know, and then Andrea told. So everyone, like, it was almost like everyone took a turn telling their own personal story. It just so happened mine was the one that aired, and I don't pick what gets shown and what doesn't get shown. So for people to say that, it's like, you also have to remember we're at tribal council where it's almost a stage that you're performing on. You know what I mean? To where you can't just sit there and keep your mouth shut. You have, Jeff wants you to talk. And so it's not trying to steal the thunder or anything like that. It's doing what I'm supposed to do as a Survivor contestant and being a contestant, and this is how I'm feeling, so I'm going to say how I feel.
When you guys were there or immediately thereafter, did you guys know that that tribal council in that moment was going to end up being such a big news story outside of the Survivor world?
No, I didn't think it'd be that big. We knew leaving that. I mean, I can still feel what it felt like being there. It was like you could hear a pin drop. And you know, we don't see the cameras in production on this set and whatnot, but it felt like nobody was breathing. Nobody, you could literally, you know, hear a pin drop because we were just in shock. The atmosphere was just so intense. And I go, this will never come across on television as awful as it actually was to sit there.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I mean, everybody's bawling. And we're not crying because, you know, we're playing it up for television. That's how intense and truly sickening and sad it was to have to witness that because it's the worst thing I've ever seen someone do to somebody.
On the show, it seemed like that you and Zeke became closer after that moment. Were you guys always just that close, or did this actually make you guys be bonded closer together from that point on?
Yeah, Zeke and I were close always. Maybe not the first day or two, but he, you know, I called him my Survivor husband. He was my husband out there. And we would have arguments like husbands and wives do. And we would always say, you know, it's okay to argue. It doesn't mean we're getting a divorce. It just means, you know, we got in a fight. So, yeah, Zeke and I were, I hate to say ride or die, because at some point, I guess I could say that about everybody. But yeah. But we really
and
were.
They all died.
Really close,
yeah.
Right, right.
None of them rode.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys get into the merge, and you know, the first vote at the merge ends up being this decision of Haley versus Michaela. Did you have a vested interest in either of them? Did you care?
Yes, I would have liked to keep Haley. Haley wanted to work with me. She had approached me. I like Haley a lot. And she's like, Sarah, I think we could do really well working together, you know. And I would just tell her, I'm like, yeah, because 13 people is a lot of people to manage. So I go, Haley, I'm just seeing how things are shifting out right now. I go, hopefully we can work together. I just don't know where things are falling right now. Because when... I don't know if people realize, but like Nuku was going to stay Nuku strong. Mana was Mana. So I'm Nuku, she's Mana. I'm trying to say, yeah, I want to work with you, but I also, we can't really show my Nuku people that I'm talking to a Mana right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was cool with that. And then the reason it all sifted out the way it did was because the Saria, it actually happened the exact way that it was shown on television, is two groups were deciding one going to have to compromise on one decision. But it was like, what are the motives behind keeping Michaela? What are the motives behind keeping Haley? And Sari ultimately wanted to keep Michaela. So she felt that the other tribe wanted to keep Haley, and she didn't want them to have the power. So she did. It was a good play on Sari's part to convince to get rid of Haley and keep Michaela.
So at this point, there is a real power struggle that is beginning to form, where there's like the Sierra, Brad, Troyzan side of things from original Nuku. And then there is the Sari, Andrea, Ozzy side of things. And you're one of the people that's really in the middle, because you have these good relationships with everybody from Nuku. You ultimately come down on the side of voting against Ozzy in that tribal council, that he goes home. But could you just talk us through this Nuku civil war from your perspective?
Okay, so actually Ozzy was in the same spot that I was in. He wasn't. So Ozzy and I were like a pair, and we were in good with both sides. All right. And what happens is Ozzy and I go, okay, which side are we going to vote with? We kind of have to pick a side now. And he goes, well, let's see what, you know, each side has to offer, and then we'll talk later today and we'll make our decision. Well, as the day progresses, Ozzy leaked information that the Sierra and them said about voting out Andrea. Ozzy told Andrea that they're gunning for you. So then once we heard that, now Nuku's against Ozzy, because they're like, he's the leaker, you know? Mm-hmm. And do I get a ding or anything for that one?
Topical humor, yeah.
I mean, come on, that's pretty funny, yeah. Right? So Ozzy's the leaker, and he's got to go at this point. Then... And I'm in agreement with that too, because I'm like, Ozzy, damn it. Like, I thought we were going to be working together, and then you go and you can't be open in your mouth like that. You've become a liability to me now because, you know, you're the leaker. And so, so now I've decided, let's vote Ozzy out, and I'm still going to be good with Sari, Andrea, Zeke, because he wasn't really one of their numbers anyway. And I know I can talk my way out of that situation. That one's easy, because I'm just going to paint Ozzy in a light of where he was playing the other side too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I knew I would be completely safe, but at this point I want Ozzy out because he's a huge challenge beast and whatnot. So that was the way we went. I will tell you, Debbie told everybody about her, or everyone on Nuku, about her advantage. So she's telling us how she's going to play it. And Sierra and I are really trying to talk her into not playing it, because we're like, you're not going to need it. Like, we don't need it for the votes. And she's like, just insistent. And then of course she does play it. And we're like, well, that was wasted. But on the flip side of it, it's also a good thing that she played it, because then it's out of the game now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, on the show, we get all of the stuff that's going on, where Zeke feels like that he's not being included in the decision, and he wants to try to get Andrea voted out, and he's going to talk to Sierra Dawn Thomas, and then she is not going to necessarily be too keen on working with Zeke, and she goes back and talks to everybody. So how did that side of the conversation factor into all this?
So I'm starting to want to, after the Ozzy vote, want to get away from the Sari Andrea side. But I want Zeke to come with me, and Zeke wants to come with me. The problem is the Brad, Sierra, Troyzan, they don't trust Zeke. So I'm telling Zeke, you got to like try and get in with them, because I want you over here. And he wanted to too. Well, then he goes and says stuff to Sierra, and then Sierra doesn't keep her mouth shut. And then it just really backfired on Zeke. I got away like scot-free out of the whole thing, mm-hmm. but it really blew up in Zeke's face. And it sucked. but I felt like it was what had to happen at that point because he wanted to leave Serena Andrea also.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only move that you can make. Unfortunately, Sierra just went in and ratted him out.
Okay.
Because they didn't trust him. But he was being genuine and loyal. He was not trying to play both sides.
All right. So Ozzy goes home there. And was there a lot of blowback on you from the Suri Andrea side of things in terms of that you were part of the group that voted against Ozzy?
Not really. Because what I made a point to do, too, is what people... So after you leave tribal council, it takes a while to get back to camp. So you're in like a lockdown phase. And during that lockdown phase, you know, you can only think to yourself because you can't talk to anybody. So I knew from the first time I played about these lockdown phases that you had to go through. And I knew that what would stew and I would dwell on during those times and, so I knew anytime I did something at tribal, whenever we got back to camp, be the first one to talk and dispel everything so that nobody can. So Sari and Andrea can't get together, walk off and go, you know, this is what I'm thinking about Sarah. And then before you know it, the snowball's rolling and it's got Sarah's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, if I can just address the group or address the people that I think are going to be the most upset first, then I can erase anything that they just thought from in that lockdown period where it was going to potentially roll out of control. You know what I mean?
And what was your strategy for that? Because it wasn't necessarily an apology, right? It was just sort of like, just here's the reasons.
It. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And this is why I did what I did. And it's like, I'm sorry that I did it. But these are my reasonings for it. I understand if you're mad at me, but I just wanted to be honest with you, you mm-hmm. know? So it's, cause you know, from being a police officer, it's, if I'm interviewing someone and they admit to like, do you know why I pulled you over? And they're like, yeah, I was speeding. And you're like, oh, dang it. Like, you just told me like the truth. Now, am I really going to sit here and write you a ticket after you're being so honest and forthcoming with me?
And so that's the move. That's what our listeners should do. If they get pulled over, you admit what you're doing.
Oh yeah. 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 For sure. No. And that's the truth. Like if you ever, are speeding, I mean, nobody likes to be lied to, right? Mm-hmm. It makes you feel disrespected and things like that. So anytime someone tells me the truth, I have a really hard time punishing them for that.
Yeah.
I guess that's just me maybe. It's not your get out of jail free card. So mm-hmm. don't call me and yell at me when you were honest about speeding and then they wrote you for the full amount. But I think you might have success with it.
And in Survivor as well, where it's like, okay, yeah, you got me. I was trying to get away with this thing, and that's what I was trying to do. So you say, just come clean about your lies.
Yeah, people respect that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you continue to go, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't. And then it's like, do you really think I'm that stupid? I can see what you did. Mm-hmm. Like, so as long as you can explain yourself and you get the opportunity to explain yourself, you're way further ahead than where you would have been.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, but this is the round where you end up finding the extra vote or the vote steal advantage at the reward challenge?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, talk that through with us, because I think that there was a lot of confusion in terms of us watching the episode of
yeah.
how come you were the only person that ended up on that barge that Michaela was sitting on, and how come you were the only person that had an opportunity to go grab that?
Okay. So we get done with the challenge and, you know, the one tribe jumps off into the water, and as they're swimming away, then Jeff's like, well, I'm going to bring a boat up, you know, for you guys. Well, as we're standing there, I'm looking at Michaela and I can see this, and she's pretty far away though. And like to the point where it's really hard. I'm squinting my eyes at this, trying to read what it says. And it says secret advantage on it.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole tribe goes and gets in the boat, and I'm standing there and I say, I've got to go to the bathroom. And, they're the producers on the boat, like, Sarah, come on. And now they're underneath. So they're not just like sitting on an open bow boat. They're underneath where they can't see anything. And Michaela's on this other bench and she's still mad that she didn't get to compete. And I'm like, no, I really got to go to the bathroom now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, you can go in like 2 minutes. We got to clear like the challenge set, get on the boat. And so I look at Jeff and I tell him, I go, I see that over there and I'm going to go get it. And he's like, you do? And I'm like, yeah. And because they didn't know that what I was trying to do at this point. So then he then tells the boat, you know, I say, go to Michaela's platform. I'll jump in the water. I'll go to the bathroom. I'll climb up on her platform and then just get on the boat there. So it looked like it would be the only likely scenario that could happen out there for why I'm doing what I'm doing. But it also makes perfect sense because nobody's going, because then people are like, well, how did they not know that she was doing that? Well, they're not sitting under the boat going, well, where's Sarah? I bet she's getting that secret advantage that was right under Michaela's feet. You know what I mean? Like, they're not thinking that because they're not thinking that there's an advantage there. So nobody was onto it. And when I go over there, I'm like, luckily I had shoes on. So had I not, I don't know what I would have done with it. So that's another survivor, future survivors. Take your bag to every challenge so that you can hide things in it and wear shoes whenever possible or as much clothing as possible in the event that you find something like that, you can hide it. Because if all you have on is a bathing suit, where are you going to hide something like that?
Right. So, good point.
So then, yeah, I put it in my shoes. I get in the boat and it's a done deal. And really nobody was even, why would you be suspicious of it? You know what I mean? Because if someone said, I'm going to the bathroom, I would have been like, okay, whatever. And you don't care because this is what they're thinking too. Jeff just tells us how great this seaplane ride is, that this other, the other tribe's going on or, and all the food that they're going to eat. So we're really upset about that, not getting to go that. The last thing they're thinking is, oh, I bet Sarah's up to something, you know, out there.
Sarah, how big of a deal was Suri getting across the balance beam? Because I think that for some viewers, okay, it was, you know, it came across as a really big deal. But we also heard from other people of why did the show make such a big deal out of it? But from watching the secret scenes, it seemed like a lot of the survivors got something out of it, and you included in that. So what was it about Suri getting across the balance beam?
So we were probably out there for an hour total for the whole challenge because she couldn't even get up onto the second platform. And so just watching her struggle through the whole thing, and she never gave up. And then you get people who are really good at balance, like Andrea, you know, and whatnot, that crawled across on their hands and knees. And Suri ended up being able to walk across the thing, and she never quit doing it. I mean, she attempted probably 30 times. And I mean, that's a lot of tries. And she eventually got it. She didn't have to crawl across. She was able to walk across on her own 2 feet. So yeah, I think it just, it went to show her determination and that if you never give up, you know, look what you can achieve.
Okay. So this is the round where Debbie gets voted out. You end up going against the six, the power six, as they were called. Debbie was saying, you know, that they've got this all set up. Nobody's going to flip from this group. And I think that there was a lot of discussion amongst people on the outside here trying to figure out who really gets credit for Debbie getting voted out and what actually happened here. So we saw Debbie talking to Aubrey about how that, hey, Aubrey, don't trust Sarah. We see you having conversations with the Aubrey side of things about how, you know, you hate that Debbie's a liar. Sarah Dawn Thomas is saying, like, hey, me, you, and Debbie should be the final three. So from your perspective, what's going on during this vote?
So Debbie and I truly were close. We slept together every night in the hammock.
That hammock.
And that's what, yeah, the hammock. That was mine and Debbie's that we slept in every single night. And so when she tries to say, oh, she was never in my final plans, I don't believe that. I do believe her and Sierra Dawn Thomas wanted to go to the end with me. And vice versa. I mean, I wanted to go to the end with anybody, you know, I didn't care. You can't, you want to keep all your options open. Obviously you have to whittle it down to the people that you're going to beat. But at that point in the game, of course, that was an option that I would definitely want to be a part of because I'm a part of it. And, but Aubrey came back and told me that Debbie, you know, was kind of throwing my name out there, how, she doesn't trust me and this and that. Well, it really ticked me off because, like I said, Debbie and I were really close. Like, you don't sleep with someone you're not close with, mm-hmm. you know? And so
I've heard that.
I said that to Debbie as I go, what the heck? Aubrey told me you're saying this. Then Debbie begins to tell me that she should have won an Emmy for the way she just, the performance that she put on to Aubrey, and that she was just playing her and she's just trying to feed Aubrey whatever information she wants to, just to keep her all screwed up. Now she's going to take her out at 9 because that's when Aubrey took her out and go wrong. And I'm going, well, but don't use me as part of your little plan. If you want to mess with Aubrey, mess with Aubrey, but I don't want to be a part of that because you don't ever want your name thrown out there, you know? So that's, Debbie was just trying to get fancy and things like that because she felt power. And for me, it was putting my name out there. I didn't like that. So Aubrey had approached me when, you know, after the immunity, and she's like, we're voting out Debbie. And I said, perfect. You know, so Aubrey's the one that convinced me to vote out Debbie out of the whole situation. Now, I don't know whose idea it was to throw her name out there originally, but Aubrey's the first one that approached me with Debbie's name.
Now, were you worried about those good relationships that you had on the side with the six, like Troy Zan, like Sierra, like Brad, and even Ty, who was on that side? That was worth it for you just to get Debbie out of the game?
Well, yeah, because I had confidence in being able to talk my way out of the reasons why I did what I did. I would often tell people, hey, we're working together, but sometimes we might have to vote against each other or not with each other, but know that I have your best interest in mind, but sometimes I'm just not going to be able to tell you everything, you know? And
very
again,
Tony-esque.
Red flag.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it should be a red flag. But the reason I want to say that is because I'm saying this before because I've already planned, you can see that if you can see through what I'm saying is the next vote, I'm not voting with you. So I'm setting this up to where once I do that, now when we come back, I can go, but remember, I told you I was going to do this.
Oh, okay. You know? I guess so. I guess you said.
Yeah. And they're like, well, yeah. And I'll go, but see, I didn't write your name down. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, she's not lying. So yeah, I guess, you know?
Right.
And it goes, because loose lips sink ships, and you really want to keep as much stuff to yourself as you can. And that was another motivation behind playing that way, is even if I'm really tight with somebody, because I did some, there was like two times Zeke had said too much. And I'm like, Zeke, you know, you can't be saying those things. And he's like, yeah, I know. And so then, you know, you kind of get burned by saying too much, and then you just start to keep your mouth shut, is the way that I operated. And I would just set it up and give the whole presentation of, well, basically, I'm not going to vote with you. And then I'm going to be able to come back and say, but remember, I told you this is what I was going to do. Okay. And so then it'll all be okay.
Next tribal council. This is when Zeke ends up going home. This is your ally, your survivor husband, the guy who lets you wear his jacket all of the time. But ultimately, you are going to vote against him in this round with the same people that voted against Debbie. So why did you ultimately come down on the side of voting out Zeke? Because if I remember correctly, at this point, you're also talking with Zeke and Michaela about maybe going after Sierra, and then going to the final five with Troy, Zan, and Brad. And correct me if I have any of that wrong.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. Michaela was Michaela and I were closer than what's shown too. Her and Ceree were close. Her and I were close. Ceree, Michaela, and I were close. I believe still to today that Ceree wanted to go to the end with me and Michaela. And I believe that Michaela did too. And had the steal a vote thing not happen the way it did, that may have ended up happening. I mean, I don't know. There's so much that could change, but that may have happened. But yeah, we're definitely, because now at this point, Zeke and Andrea are fighting, and Aubrey has now replaced me in the relationship that I had with Andrea. She's now her it girl, you know? And so I want to I want to get them broke up. Well, Andrea wins immunity. So now Andrea's like, I feel on a power trip and she just wants Zeke out because it's an emotional revenge. And Zeke pulled me aside and goes, Sarah, you know, after what had happened to him in the game, I think he understood his time in the game was limited. And I really think he was done playing. Like he's looking at what he's going to go home to and how this is all going to work out. So he says, don't lose this game trying to save me. And I looked at him and I said, are you being serious? And he goes, yes, if you need to vote me out, do it. And I'll vote for you to win the game. So when someone tells you that, it makes it pretty, I mean, it makes up your mind on what you're going to do. It doesn't make it easy to vote him out, but I mean, you don't get many people telling you, vote me out and I'll vote for you.
So you felt like that you had his permission at that point and the numbers were there on that side. So why not go ahead and be part of this group that wants to take out Zeke?
Yeah. And because I also knew Michaela really didn't want to. And she was, Michaela and I were trying to convince Aubrey to tell Andrea to, you know, to change the target. But Andrea was just gung-ho and she wouldn't change. So part of it too is I'm like, well, Zeke's given us permission to vote him out. And then this is going to make Michaela dislike Andrea more because she doesn't want her or to vote Zeke out. And she's putting her foot down and not being flexible at all. So this is just going to put a target on Andrea's back now. So just let this happen because it's a win-win for me. Like if I make it to the end, I have Zeke's vote and, you know, and then also he's going to the jury at an early stage where I think where people say jury management, it's when you put the people on the jury too, because Zeke's going to be at Ponderosa now and have my back till the final tribal council if I make it that far. So that's a good thing, because if people come out of the game really mad, he's got my back and can maybe influence.
That's actually a really interesting thing, Sarah. I don't think I've ever heard that before. You know, we've talked about, you know, people putting people on the jury. I mean, to go back to Kagyan, Tony says he knows that Trish is going to vote for him, so he wants her to be on the jury and not somebody that he's sitting there at the end of the game with. But in terms of the timing, this is a really interesting idea to have somebody that's going to go out there and stump for you, but put them on the jury early to sort of manage people at Ponderosa.
Yeah, because if Zeke goes out fourth, he's only there for a day. And now people have, trust me, I was the mayor of Ponderosa and I was there for 21 days. So there's a lot of, you know, crap talking going on about people in the game. And it's mainly fueled by jealousy and things like that. And a lot of lies get told at Ponderosa just because people are upset that they just got blindsided and things like that. I saw that firsthand. And so if he only has a day to undo, you know, put out my fires for me, that's not enough time. This is going to be really good. There's only two other people at Ponderosa, or three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there, you know, everyone that comes in from here on out is going to be, you know, the closer you get to the final, the more I think hurt you are. And he will get to be in their ear, you know.
The other thing going on at this vote is we got to see in the episode that Sierra comes over and talks to Andrea and Ceri and says, hey, you give us a name. You tell us who to vote for. We'll write down whoever you want. She says, I'll put a star on it if you want. And so Sierra ends up being told, and I guess Troyzan and Brad, to vote for Ty. Did you know that this was going on? Because I feel like that this is something that helps you, where you have these three people that you have a good relationship with. They get told something that's going to be the wrong thing, basically a lie. Hey, we're voting for Ty tonight. All of you write Ty's name down. And then I have to think, well, Ty ends up getting pissed because those people are voting for him.
Right.
And then also those guys are probably pissed that they voted for Ty, who didn't end up going home. But you're the one person that still has good relationships with all of them.
Yeah. Well, okay. So actually how that went down, and I don't know if you've covered this with other people, but nobody told them where to vote.
Okay.
So we're at tribal council and it doesn't make air, but we all decided they can vote for whoever they want because it doesn't matter. We're sticking together. You know, this is what it is. And so what ended up happening was they chose Ty because maybe so it shows that those three are tight. Then Ty, I don't remember who he wrote down, and
he votes with Zeke for Sierra.
Yeah. So I think Ty just came up with that on his own because we did not tell them. And they say at tribal council, like Jeff's like, so there's, are there two groups? And Brad Culpepper goes, they didn't tell us where to vote. And Jeff goes, you're kidding me. Like you guys didn't even get a name. And they go, nope. And so he's just amazed at like, we wouldn't even communicate with them. We just said, vote wherever you want because we have our own plans going on. So the damage it did though to that group was they alienated Ty. Ty was really hurt that they wrote his name down. So now you can have these guys over here. And then the way I was able to get back in with Troy and Brad and Sierra was saying, look guys, I wasn't allowed to tell you. They wouldn't let me tell you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to, but you see, it was never going to be you guys. We voted out Zeke.
I couldn't be a leaker like Ozzy.
Yeah. I can't be a leaker. You know, I can't spread fake news.
Yeah. Well, it would have been real news that you would have been spreading.
Well, no, I would have said fake news if I said Ty.
Yeah.
That's fake news.
Okay, oh, that would have been fake news. Yeah. That's right.
Or maybe it's just alternative facts. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. This next round, okay, this is where you are going to be able to get your hands on the legacy advantage. I remember you said in the episode that you wanted to break up Brad and Sierra. Why was that important for you this round to make sure that either Brad or Sierra went home?
Well, Brad and Sierra were extremely tight duo. And then as we found out later, Troyzan was just as deep in with those guys. So not only do you have this real strong power couple, you actually have a real strong threesome mm-hmm. right there. So I wanted Sierra out because I wanted to replace Sierra in that group of Troyzan and Brad. Because once she's out of the picture, then I'm in. Because I have been in the picture the whole time, but she's like their go-to and I'm just the mistress. Well, I want to be the go-to. You know what I
right.
mean? And so I got to get her out. So now, you know, I'm the only one. That was the motivation originally behind it. When she tells me about the legacy advantage, at first I'm like, okay, well, wait. You know, she's already told me she wants final three with me, her and Debbie. She still wants to work with me. And now not only this, like she's really showing me a sign of trust. So maybe I should keep her as a number. We then have the loved ones visit. I tell Wyatt about it. And he's like, well, you got to get rid of her. You know that. And I'm like, well, like I'm debating, like, is it better to keep her for a number to vote with you? Or is it better to vote her out now so that I for sure have this? And that's where, you know, Wyatt and I actually talked it through that. I'm like, nope, I got to get rid of her now because I can't have anything else screwed up.
So even after Sierra Dawn Thomas said Wyatt was sexy on national television, he still said get rid of her?
Yeah, right.
Flattery gets nowhere with him.
I know. I mean, maybe they have something going on and he's like, yeah, get rid of her. So,
yeah.
Maybe well, it's a cover up.
Literally the mistress versus the it girl.
Yeah. I'll be right back. I need to go have a discussion with him right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being blindsided.
No, it does not happen anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So that you guys go on the loved ones visit, just what was that like for you to be picked as, were you the second person that gets picked?
Yes. So they picked Ceree and then they picked me. I knew that, I had a good feeling that they were going to pick me because I was in with Brad and then I was obviously in with Ceree, Andrea, and Aubrey. But also, it doesn't really come across, but I turn on extra tears at that point because I want to make it like apparently clear that I am in so much distress that if I don't get this, like I'm not going to survive, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Who knows what you'll do?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to make it. I think part of them, they might have been in fear that, geez, Sarah is like bawling over here. And I was upset, but once you lose the challenge, there's nothing you can do. So you better turn on the acting job now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really got to play this up to where they're probably going to go, well, geez, if we don't pick her, is she going to hate us? Is she not going to work with us? And so, yeah, that was, I mean, the game just never stops. You got to constantly play it.
Watch out, Deppy. Where's your Emmy, Sarah?
Yeah, right. I think I deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, but it was, I wanted the loved ones visit, not so much for myself. I was going to be fine. I was going to come home in like 9 more days. I wanted it for Wyatt because, you know, you have kids and you know how hard it is. Imagine if Nicole left and you had the boys for 53 days.
And if she's gone for 53 minutes, it's an emergency.
So I know. And so as a mom, I know, I think, I hate to say it, but I think moms definitely, you know, especially in the younger years, are more hands-on with the kids as far as, you know, I don't know. I'm probably saying this wrong, but do you get what I'm getting at? Like,
I don't think you're saying anything controversial by saying that, you know,
like I would say I do, 70, it's like a 70-30 split on the amount of work that goes into the children. I think that that's pretty normal. It doesn't mean that dads are lazy. I think that's just how the way things are. So for him to have to tackle that alone when he's only used to doing like the 30%, I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so I wanted it for him. I wanted him to get to see our camp. I wanted him to get to see me, talk to me, experience as much of it as he could. Then I wanted it for myself, you know.
Going back to the vote for Sierra, how much did you have to steer the vote to being on Sierra at this point? Brad is going to win immunity. I know that he was one of the targets being talked about at this point. So who did you have to convince to get Sierra to be the person to be voted out at this round?
I think it was pretty unanimous, other than obviously Brad and Troyzan didn't vote Sierra and Sierra didn't vote Sierra. So again, I was sticking with the Ceree, Andrea, Aubrey side to vote out Sierra. I think that one was pretty straightforward. Everybody was just on board because we wanted to split Brad and Sierra up. But then obviously I had extra incentive in making sure that we were voting her out.
Right. In terms of trying to convince Sierra that you weren't part of this and that you were blindsided at tribal council, at what point did you think of that idea that you were going to try to sell this to Sierra?
Well, so I thought about not voting against her because we'd still have the numbers to get her out. But then I thought of the backlash I would have with everyone else. Once you're out of the game, you're not there to cause any more of the problems. And I don't really have to explain anything until the final tribal council. And so I'm sitting there going, well, you're going to have to explain why you voted for Sierra. And then it's just, that's not going to look good. You can vote her out and have no repercussions when you get back to camp. So I figured the only way I can do this is to keep everyone off my back is just to appeal to Sierra that I am so shocked that it is her. So the whole time that the votes are being read, I've like turned to her and like winked at her, like, you're good, like giving her the thumbs up. And, you know, and she's like shaking her head and like, he'll read a vote like Sierra. And I'll look at her like, don't even worry, you know? and she's like shaking her head, like pretty confident. And then once she gets voted out, then I turn to her and I just like my jaw just drops to the ground. And it's even more dramatic than what gets shown on TV. And she's looking at me and I'm like shrugging my shoulders. Like, I don't know what just happened. And she's just in disbelief. And then, but Brad is too, because he just had his it girl get taken out of the game. So she's looking at Brad as he's just going, what just happened? The rug's been pulled out from under me. And he's not having a reaction to her or getting up and hugging her and things like that. So now she's mad at him. But in the midst of all that, Aubrey looks right at me and goes, what's wrong? And I go, nothing. And she goes, what's the confused look for? And I go, what confused look? And now Aubrey and I kind of are getting into it. And then Aubrey looks at Andrea and goes, did you see Sarah? And then now Andrea, and I'm looking at Aubrey like, shut up. Like, you're totally blowing my spot up right now. So I knew, and the people had speculated, oh, Sarah's shocked look was because she thought that she was going to get the advantage there. Well, come on. if I would get it right then and there, then everybody would know I would have it. I knew you will it. Cause I actually asked Sierra that. I go, well, wait, if you get voted out though, how do you get that? And she goes, well, I will it after the vote, like after my torch is snuffed in. So I already knew that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And again, another red flag. If someone's asking you those types of questions.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like it's right up there with how do you spell your name again? Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to give this to me when you're walking out then? You don't ask somebody that stuff. But so we even get back to camp and now Aubrey starts in Saree and Andrea's ear, like, did you see Sarah? And Aubrey is so on to me at this point. And she knows the game I'm trying to play. And she, but I got my hooks in so deep because I've had 30 days with these people that they won't even listen to her.
Can I just go back to the vote real quick? So did the Brad, Sierra, Troy, Zan side, did they think that you were voting against Andrea at that tribal council?
Yes.
But only 3 votes came up. So was it just that there wasn't enough time to sort of process the math?
Yeah. No, Sierra then thought that Brad flipped.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, That's right. I remember her from Sierra her thought. Confessional. Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So who else did they think was going to be potentially voting with? Did they think that there was enough? Because it was either going to be Sierra or Andrea. Did they think that they had Michaela and Ty?
Yes.
Okay. Coming out of that, this is when Andrea is going to go home. And I think that I know myself as a viewer, and I heard this from a lot of people. People were surprised when you said that you wanted to go after Andrea here, and that you not only wanted to go after Andrea, you said you couldn't stand Andrea.
Yeah, right. So I don't even know why they like played that. I mean, clearly I said it, but you don't see me saying it. So I could have said that at any point, and it could have been after when she wanted to vote out Zeke, and I'm sitting there. And I'm mad. I mean, I don't even know when that was said and the context of it being said. But once it came across, I'm like, geez, like, that's not nice. But so the humor behind that, because I do like Andrea. I would describe mine and Andrea's relationship like we're like sisters. You know, sometimes, I mean, you love your sister always, but sometimes you want to pull their hair out, you know. And I've played the game with Andrea every single day. We never got split up. So there were times, and she self-admitted that she was a diva this time around. There were times that she was driving me crazy, you know, but I'm sure I drove people crazy too. You're with these people 24 hours, you know, a day. And so, I mean, obviously I said it in the context of me saying that, I'm not sure, but I did. The funny thing was, when it aired on a Wednesday, she texted me and she's like, really? You can't stand me?
Yeah. Hey.
And I go, hey, if it makes you feel any better, I told Wyatt on Sunday, I couldn't stand him either. So I use that term or that phrase pretty loosely with people I care about.
Right. Like,
and he was mad at me for saying it to him too. So, it kind of smoothed things over with him and Andrea, because I said it about both of them 2 days apart.
Okay, so your jury management is good even outside the game.
Right.
You're still locked in. You're on a hot streak.
Right. So if I say I can't stand you, it's like it's actually a compliment.
Yeah. And believe me, I would sign right now for my wife telling me I can't stand you compared to what she does say to me.
Right. I know.
That's an upgrade.
That's not right. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Oh, believe it. Believe it, Sarah. Okay. So this is when Andrea is going to get voted out. And so really for you, you have these relationships with Brad and Troy, and then you also have, these solid relationships with Sari and Michaela and Ty. So for you, I mean, you are really the connective tissue between everybody that's voting against Andrea in this round.
Yeah. Okay. So this is I'm going to put some, an item in here that will tie in with wrapping up the whole season is, Andrea is a challenge beast, so I want her gone at this point because of that. Plus, again, Aubrey has replaced me in the number one spot with Andrea. I'm no longer her number one. So I don't want anyone in the game that's not my number one anymore. And so, and then with her being a challenge threat, it's her time to go. So at this point, ever since I flipped on Brad and Troy, because Ty's not really with them anymore, I haven't voted with Brad and Troy where the vote, or they haven't voted correctly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so Troy and I were extremely close. We talked daily. But it's really in private locations where nobody can even walk up on us. Like we make sure we don't do it where anyone can see it going on, because I want to keep it private. And I tell Troy, you know, we're voting out Andrea, so vote Andrea. But, you know, you didn't hear it from me and things like that. And he goes, how can I even trust you at this point? And so I have this bracelet that I wore the first season, and it's just a silver bracelet that it's actually a bicycle spoke from I ride this thing called Ragbri, and our whole team has them, right? And it's like a $7 bracelet. Mm-hmm. So I go, here, I'm going to give you my bracelet. If I'm lying and it doesn't go that way, you can keep it, throw it in the fire, throw it in the ocean, do whatever you need to do. So I give him my bracelet at this point. He then goes and tells Brad it's going to, you know, again, this is him being the glue between us all. I don't even think I have the conversation with Brad that it's Andrea. I think Troy Zan just covers that and was like, yep, we're good. So the only person we didn't tell was Aubrey, but we knew Aubrey and Andrea were close. And it wasn't that we felt Aubrey wouldn't have voted for her, but if, you know, sometimes it's another good lesson for future Survivor players. If you don't need the votes and people are on a need to know basis only, then just do that, because it's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you can talk your way out of things later. You can't talk your way out of something if you go home that night. So don't even take the chance and going, well, let's include Aubrey, even though we don't need her, because there were six other people that didn't include Aubrey. You know what I mean? So There's no way you can just look at me and point the finger at Sarah, because then I'll point the finger at the other five people and go, well, they didn't tell you either. You know,
ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
Yes. And I think that works well, not just in the game, but in life too. You know,
I won't touch that in real life. We'll just keep it to Survivor.
Okay.
So Andrea goes home. But then This is really the vote that I think everybody wants to hear you really get into. What happens with the Suri vote? You have this secret advantage. You end up letting her hold on to it because you guys are in a disagreement about who should go home next, Aubrey or Ty. You want Aubrey to go. She wants Ty to go. Ultimately, Michaela goes. So I guess just walk us through all of this insanity.
I feel like I'm close with Ty. Suri feels like she's closer with Aubrey. Well, when Suri goes down and has the talk with Ty, she like plants the, she tells Ty that I'm trying to vote him out. Well, so then when you see Aubrey and Ty talking and Aubrey's like, well, I know, but Sarah's your friend. And he's like, no, it's because Suri just told him that I wanted to vote him out. So then when he's now saying to Aubrey, well, I'll vote out Sarah, what ends up happening is Ty then comes and grabs me immediately, because I think he realizes the web he just stepped into. And he goes, look, Aubrey wants to vote you out. And then Aubrey's telling Suri that Ty wants to vote me out. And that's where Suri really doesn't want to get rid of me. But she's getting this information now from Aubrey. Aubrey and Ty are working against each other, basically, without even knowing it at this point. And so I don't trust Aubrey. Suri doesn't trust Ty. I want to win this battle, so I'm going to give, you know, this as collateral, use it as leverage where Suri will let me have my way, because I don't feel as though Aubrey wants to play with me, because she knows what I'm doing in the game and she's on to me. And so I want to keep her powerless where she doesn't have people to continue to work with.
Can we go through that one more time, just because it sounds like things are a little bit out of order based on what we saw on the TV show. Suri talks to Ty before you give her the advantage, and Suri tells Ty that you're coming after Ty?
Yes.
Okay.
That's according to Ty, though. I mean, because I wasn't there for the conversation. So according to Ty, that's why him and Aubrey are even having the conversation about me going home. And then Aubrey runs to Suri. I know this is really confusing.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that stuff doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, what mattered was Ceri wanted Ty out. I wanted Aubrey out.
Okay.
And this was my way of getting my way. And then what you see happen at Tribal was her way of trying to get her way.
Because it almost changes the motive of what Ceri was doing for me. Because if Ceri is the one that put the seed in Ty's head that you're trying to get him out, and then she's trying to save you, like, because in the episode, I feel like that Aubrey is the one that sort of is pushing Ty to go and make a big move because he has nothing on his resume and he needs to turn on you.
I did have that wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
That is what happened. Yes. Aubrey and Ty are talking about who's the most dangerous. Once that happens, then Aubrey reports it back to Ceri. Ty comes up and tells me, hey, Aubrey and I just had this discussion. I don't want this to get flipped around. I do think you're a big threat, but I want to go to the end with you, like, type of deal. But now Ceri is trying to protect me because she heard from Aubrey's mouth that Ty wants me out. So she's trying to, that's where she was so frustrated with me, is she's going, Sarah, I'm trying to save you. Ty is not working with you because him and Aubrey had a conversation about voting you out. What she didn't know is that Ty and I had already cleared the air on that.
And so for you, you not only you're taking your bracelet and you're saying, here, Troyzanne, you can trust me. Hold on to my bracelet. If I stab you in the back, you can go ahead. You can throw this away. You don't have to give it back to me. And is this basically the same thing that you do with Ceri with this advantage where you have no more bracelets, but you say to her, like, here.
Well, no, I do actually have my bracelet back.
Oh, okay.
Had to
you
give
already
it back
got it back.
Me after that.
Okay.
Yep. So it's only like, you don't get to keep it the whole game. This was just for this vote.
Okay.
This is my truth telling bracelet. You know what I mean?
But it's the same idea, right? With Ceri, like, here, you hold this now.
Because I've ruined my word. I mean, people don't believe me, so I have to go to material items to get people to trust me now. And so I don't give Ceri this until I wrap it up in a piece of clothing and I put it in her bag 3 minutes before we leave for tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
So she, and now I know that she can't use this. I really honestly didn't think she'd even try. So I wasn't testing her. Some people tried to give me credit for being that masterful. I'm not going to go that far to say that. I would love to think that I would have thought of doing this to test her, but that wasn't it. I knew she couldn't play it. So I knew I was safe giving it to her. I gave it to her as leverage to get her to vote my way, or to end up getting my way. But then when she did try to play it, the reason I didn't believe her in that she was trying to save me is because she took my vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the only one that can't write my name down. So it makes you go, well, wait a second. What is going on here? Who's voting where? And in the midst of it, you're at tribal council. So it's not like you can walk down the beach and have a private conversation. The only thing that can be said is what you're whispering in someone's ear right now, but you have people in both ears, you know?
So how integral were Brad and Troyzanne in sort of getting this thing turned around? When I did my exit interview with them, they were both talking about how Troyzanne was sort of like reading over Ceri's shoulder and was the one who was really pointing out about this being a non-transferable advantage.
So I was operating under at the bottom of it, it says like in the middle, it's non-transferable. But then in the, like the last line, it talks about how it cannot be stolen from you. So my opinion was, cause I had told Ceri, you have to give it back to me if I don't go home tonight.
Mm.
The only reason I'm giving it to you is that if I am wrong, then this stays in the game and then you can use it to for yourself because now I'm gone. Cause if I get voted out, then it leaves the game. So, but because we made that deal, that's like saying, here, Rob, you can use my car to go to the gas station. If you don't bring my, but then if you don't ever bring my car back, you stole it, correct?
Yeah.
That's how I'm operating under it. So the non-transferable is, to me at this point, it's not the deciding factor in whether or not she can use it. But Jeff and I are now having like this heated discussion over this. And he is kind of like, well, no, she's not stealing it though. You gave it to her. And so as we're, I mean, this is now going on for quite a while. And he's like, read it again. She rereads it, and when she says non-transferable, then that's when Troyzan speaks up and says, that says it's non-transferable. You can't play that. And then Jeff finally is like, yeah, you know, you're right, Suri. Or Suri, you can't play this. And then I get it back. And then as I'm deciding whether to play it or not, I'm like, well, everyone knows about it now, so I have to play it now. Because if you don't, then it puts a target on your back and people know that you have this now. So I'm like, I've got to play this. And now emotionally right away, I look at Brad and Troyzan and I mouth Suri, and they kind of both give me a look like, okay, but are you sure? They don't want to tell me what to do, because I think they feel like they're going to kind of walk on eggshells at this point because of what's happened. And so then I'm like, Sarah, you cannot make an emotional decision, make a strategic decision. I start weighing out the options of, okay, I want to work with Brad and Troyzan. I have been working with them, just maybe not voting the same way until, you know, the Andrea vote. And Suri's not going to win a challenge. Michaela's Suri's right-hand man, and Michaela's really good at challenges. And so I turned, and then Michaela, Brad also, and Michaela hate each other. So I turned to Brad and Troyzan, and I mouthed Michaela, and they couldn't shake their heads yes, like fast enough, you know. So now Troy looks at me, and but then Brad's skeptical. He looks at Troy and he goes, are you sure? Like, that's what she's going to do. Like, she ain't playing us, is she? And Troy points down to his wrist and points at a bracelet. And I take my bracelet off and I give it to him right there at Tribal.
Right.
And then Troy turns to Brad and goes, she's good. And so the reason I'm going to use it now is, you know, some people like Steven might argue that I didn't play it correctly. However, I'll argue that I did, because had they had their crap together, we needed four votes to get our way. You know what I mean? Like, we needed all four votes. It was just the other side wasn't working together because it was such a chaotic situation. But
did Steven say that you didn't play it correctly?
Well, I think he alluded to the fact that they didn't need four votes against Michaela. Therefore, you can't completely say it was played correctly.
Right. And you say the other side just didn't play what they needed to do correctly.
Well, yeah, we needed the four votes, because had they all voted together, which they should have, then we would have needed all four of those votes.
Yeah.
But because they didn't have their crap together, then it worked in our favor. So I still say, well, no, it did get played correctly, because Ty would have had a vote then, and we would have only had three votes. And then you've got Ty, Michaela, Aubrey, Suri. You know, they have the numbers. That's four to then us three, me, Brad, and Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't. Maybe the extra vote was extra and not needed, but I needed to take a vote away. You know what I mean? That needed to have happened.
Right.
You're right. We didn't need four votes to win it, but we needed to pull a vote from that wasn't going to vote with us.
Right.
So that's how we decided on the Michaela. She was just the biggest threat at that point in the game that we needed to get rid of. The reason Suri votes Aubrey is because she knew that that's where I wanted to vote. So I think she was just under the understanding that
olive branch.
That's what I was going to do anyway. Aubrey voted Ty, and Michaela voted Ty because that's what Suri had told them to do prior to going into tribal council. And wait, can I just add a fun fact to that too?
Of course.
So after Michaela gets voted out, right? She walks off, and as she walks off, of course, everybody's quiet because you have to be quiet. That's what you do after tribal council. And then Jeff addresses us and says, well, you know, you've made it another, whatever he says. And then it just erupts. Aubrey turns to me and goes, well, why don't you just lie about something else? And I go, whoa, you're barking up the wrong tree. She's the one that wrote your name down. I'm pointing at Suri, and Suri's like, I didn't write her name down. This huge fight breaks out at tribal council now after Michaela's walked off. And the jury's sitting over there like, oh my gosh. And Jeff's going, stop. You guys can't do this. Like, and nobody will be quiet because now everybody's just yelling at everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he finally gets us all to be quiet. And he goes, look, we need to excuse the jury because this isn't fair. Like, this is stuff that needs to happen back at camp. They shouldn't be getting to see this stuff. But then there was a discussion, and they were like, or Jeff's like, do you guys have some questions that you need answered, or do you want to see this play out? And of course, Zeke is like, I want to see this play out. So he actually lets them sit there. He goes, you guys have 10 minutes, go. And we just all just like hash it out in front of the jury. And it's just like a live movie for them that they're getting to watch it live. And everybody's just kind of yelling at everyone. It was quite the mess. I mean, we go back to camp and things were just, it was probably the worst night we ever had. Ty's crying. People are being really mean to Ty. Saree really threw him under the bus. And I mean, we were all mean to Ty. I mean, it was bad.
That's really in the opening of the finale where you're saying to Ty, like, well, Ty, did you vote for me or not? Were you trying to vote me out? Like, aren't I your friend? Like, aren't I your ally? It's like, yeah, yeah. And you even forgave Saree.
Yeah, because I'm like, once he said that, I'm like, okay, well, you were right. And, but I think Ty just gets so mixed up in what he tells people all the time that it's hard. He has trouble keeping, you know, everything straight. And I don't know. I still to today, I mean, he tells me he wanted to go to the end with me. Of course, he's going to say that. But I don't know what he was doing.
I had said to him when I had spoken with him right before he played, I said, Ty, just go out there. Don't just play. You got to just don't be try to be sneaky. I think that they just go out there and be the nice man that you are. I feel like that's still the right advice for him. I give out terrible advice, but I feel like that was still good for Ty.
No, it is. And had he followed it, it would have been, I mean, look, he makes it to four. That's as far as you can make it besides being in the final. With even being sneaky, if you take out that sneakiness of him, he plays a game like I played then, you know, where you were everybody's friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And look how it worked out for me. So yeah, if he would cut out the sneakiness a little more, or just be able to keep it straight.
Right. That's the part. Because you were still pretty sneaky. Let's not get it twisted.
Well, sure. but the hard part is keeping it all straight.
Right. Keeping it straight. That's the hard part. All right. So that at the final six, you know, this was something that we got to talk about in exit interviews, where we have this point where Brad goes on this reward with you and Troyzanne. This is where you guys are full on having the jewelry exchange, right?
Yes. So, you know, I get picked to go on the reward. And just FYI, if people, again, want to say, oh, Sarah didn't play that good a game, I get any reward that you could get chosen for. I was the only one that was chosen to go on.
That's a good indicator.
Well, yeah, because come on, this is, I mean, a loved one's visit and then a final six. Those are like the two biggest times that you want to get picked. And for me to get picked to go on both, I think that speaks volumes for if anyone wants to hate on how I my social game at all. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, can dispel any of that. But yes, we're sitting at the table and now the jewelry thing has worked twice now. And so I want to lock in a final three right now. I've had final threes, final twos with everyone the entire game from day one. Like literally I've been in a final whatever agreement, but now I want to commit to it because at this point I need to make sure people aren't going to turn on me. We're down to too many people. And with all the stuff that's happened the last couple of days, I don't know that Saree and Ty want to work with me. So Brad and Troyzanne are my best options to go to the end and win. It wasn't to make a final three for their games. It was for me to solidify that I will sit in the final three. So we're sitting there and the discussion of like the legacy advantage, Brad has immunity and Troy has his idol. So we all come to the conclusion right then and there, well, none of us are going home. So if none of us are going to go home today, and if we stick together, we run the rest of the game because one of those other three will go. So now it's 3-2. And as long as we don't break apart from each other, we are automatically final three right here. And so we have that discussion pretty good, but I'm like, I have to make sure that they won't flip on me. And so I say, well, let's all exchange something to make sure that there's more at stake than just our word. And so I'm like, here, you guys can have my bracelet. And I give that up. And Troy's like, well, what do you want from me? And he has like arms full of bracelets. And I'm like, well, which one means the most to you? And he's like, well, you know, this one, it's, you know, I don't remember. It's his grandmother's or something like that. So I go, well, can I have that? And he goes, and he takes it off and gives it to me. Brad wears a necklace and then a wedding ring. Those are the only two items of, you know, jewelry items he's got on him. And Brad goes, well, what do you want from me? And I go, well, your wedding ring. And he's like, seriously? And I go, well, yeah, you talk about your wife constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, this would earn you all of my trust. And so he takes his wedding ring off. Now I have both of their items. And I've basically, and they only have my $7 bicycle spoke. Mm-hmm. And so, now what I've done is I've solidified, I am no matter what sitting in a final three with these two, because I know they're not going to, Brad is not willing to give up his wedding ring, for this game. Like, he's just not. And so at that point, once I had those in my pocket, I truly felt right then and there, the game was over and I just won. That's when I figured I had it in the bag. And that doesn't get shown on TV, but for good reason, because if they do, then I think it's mm-hmm. pretty obvious that us three sit in the end together.
At what point do you do the math to realize that Ceree is going to go out, even though she's not getting voted for?
So Brad and, or Ty shows Brad and Troy, both of his idols. And then Troy, or Brad's kind of, you know, people say bullying, whatever, we'll use that term, pressuring him. You better play this for you, and you better, you know, play the other one for whoever you think we're not going to vote for. That's going to be the only way you're going to save yourselves, blah, blah, blah. Ty doesn't know about our advantages. Actually, he did know about my legacy advantage. I told him the night after the steal a vote thing, and he completely forgot. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you forget that? You know,
he forgets a lot of things.
Yes, I know. And so they didn't know about Troy's hands or mine. I mean, at that point. So we're doing the math and we're like, he's going to play both his idols. And we figured he'd play it for Aubrey. And so we had discussed the route in which we were going to play our idols of let Ty get up and play his first. Because if Ty only plays one, now we want Troy's hand to hang on to his. Because we can use that at five, and Ty can use one at five because we know he's got two. So once he gets up and play, but we said, if he plays two, then you play yours, Troy, because we don't want it to get down to a rock draw where you could end up going home mm-hmm. or whatever, because it would be a tie if we voted at that point, and then it would have to come down to either fire or rock draw between Ceree and Troy. If they're the only two people available, we don't want to take those chances. So Ty gets up, plays his, then I get up, and then, you know, Troy's hand gets up and plays his, is how we decided it should go down. And we knew then at that point, obviously, Ceree was going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So crazy to see it play out that way. I mean, what's it like being at a tribal council where somebody's going out and they were not the person who got voted for?
Well, it was nice. I liked it.
You liked it.
I liked it because it wasn't me. And every single idol in the game just is out of the game now. We know that. And so it's like at five, I've never made it to five other than this time. But I'm sure anyone that gets to five is really, really nervous about an idol being played because that's the last time it can be played. Mm-hmm. So there's no question whether or not you do play it, because I would think a smart player would just play it. You don't need that as a souvenir. You know, you can buy a lot of souvenirs with $1 million.
Sure.
So don't even chance it. So it was nice knowing that we don't have to worry about these idols being played in the game at five. We did kind of consider that one might be put back out there, but we really put Ty and Aubrey on short leashes that day to make sure that they didn't find anything.
Okay. Now you have this deal with Brad and Troy Zan. Was there any consideration on your part of going along with this Aubrey plan of, well, Brad is going to take Troy no matter what, so that's basically only leaving one spot for you and Ty?
Yeah, no. At this point in the game, when you're looking at Ty, Aubrey, Brad, and Troy Zan, I feel that Brad and Troy Zan are the best for me to sit next to in the end. So, and she doesn't obviously know about my deal. Mm-hmm. So had I not had that deal, she presents a good argument. But when I have that deal with them, it just isn't going to work. And here's another thing that I like to point out to people is Brad and Troy Zan have the same votes, you know, so
right.
you want to sit next to people that are going to share the same votes. Because if I put Troyzan on the jury, Brad gets all the votes from whoever's in the Brad Troyzan crew. But if you sit next to both of them, then there's a potential for the Brad Troyzan crew, like fan club, to split votes between the two of them, not on purpose, but just because one might have felt this or that, you know? Mm-hmm. So you want to sit next to people that you're not competing against for votes. If that, is that coming across right?
No, it makes all the sense in the world. It's something that we talked about a lot in the second Blood versus Water season, where John and Jacqueline and Baylor and Missy were both there at the end. And we were talking about how it would make a lot of sense for somebody to sit in the final three with a loved one's pair, because you didn't want to put the loved one on the jury because they would vote for each other. And then, you know, the people on the jury, probably the people that like Baylor also like Missy, and, you know, vice versa.
Yes. And so any vote. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we've covered what we're trying to get across there.
Sure.
So they're a pair that I wanted to sit with. Plus here's the thing. Aubrey hasn't made anyone mad. She's played from the bottom. She's got a great underdog story, so she can beat me in a final, three. Ty has found three idols. He's played all three, and two of them he played for other people. He also sat out the merge feast and did a lot of our cooking and things like that, and was just pretty selfless, you know, and did made sure everyone ate before he did, things like that. And then he also won an immunity. So he's got quite the resume too, if you really sit down and add things up. So I was just weighing those things of, I get what you're saying, Aubrey, but, what you're trying to sell me, I can buy it for cheaper. So, I'm not interested.
And we talked about this, right after the finale, but you get to the final four, Brad wins immunity again, and you can't believe that you're not even coming up as an option to go home at final four, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I know about the deal I have, and I'm sitting here going, I still can't believe that they're going to honor this, because do they really think they can beat me right now? Like, I felt Brad and Troyzan are foolish if they think that they can beat me. But you also have to remember, everyone perceives their game differently than maybe what it looks like, you know? Troyzan feels he played a good game. Brad feels he played a good game. Ty feels he played a good game. Everyone's going to feel a certain way about their own game that they played, but it's not what you feel about it. It's how everyone else that's voting feels about the game that you played. And so, it just blew my mind that I was off the chopping block, but they viewed it as she's just backstabbed people left and right. She's like the Russell Hance, and nobody's going to vote for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the game has evolved so much that people are going to vote for gameplay, especially when it's called Game Changers. I think the title in this, I think it hurt me the entire game of she's not a game changer. She doesn't deserve to be here. But it helped me being titled that season, because I would say that in my final jury speech of, we are game changers. If we don't honor gameplay, we shouldn't even be out here, you know, and trying to say things like that for people to go, yeah, you know what? We were brought back for an all-star season. You don't get to be bitter is basically what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And then people say, well, why wouldn't you make Troy and Ty make fire? Well, again, I knew that they weren't going to turn on me. So, and I don't want to sit next to Ty. He has a big resume. And the other thing is if I allow them to make fire, I've now taken the spotlight off of me and put it on someone else. Now they're going to get to perform in front of the jury, who is going to turn around and the next night vote for the winner. So that's going to be the last thing in their minds, is how great of a performance that they just put on. I don't want to give them that opportunity to perform in front of the jury and to add any other notches in their belts. I also knew, I guess if you take out the wedding ring deal, that does change everything. Because then I do have to consider these options of, this is the safe route. Like, this guarantees me there. but I already knew I was there, you know?
Yeah. Just to go back to what you were saying about this being a game changer season and people were going to vote for gameplay and vote for strategy. Sure, in a vacuum, but I think that what you were able to do so well was that you made all of these game moves, but I think that you always kept these social relationships strong throughout the game, which I think is really the hardest part to do, where anybody can sort of just make a bunch of moves and flip. The hard part is sort of the damage control. And I think that you did a really great job with that, where nobody gets mad at you during this whole set, other than maybe Aubrey and Andrea after they see you looking at Sierra Dawn Thomas. Nobody's angry at you during the course of the game of the players that stay in.
Well, and again, it's got to be that you have to cover your butt when you get back to camp. You can't just act like, oh, it wasn't me, and pretend you're not the one that voted, you know, this way. You have to own what you do, because people, they may not like to hear it, but they respect it, you know? And so I think just owning the stuff right away and not giving people a chance to let, like, the gossip run rampant about what might have happened. So just being able to set the record straight, and it coming from me before it went anywhere else, is what really helped a lot.
So you go into this final tribal council. Just talk to me a little bit about your expectations for, you know, you've seen tribal councils, final tribal councils play out, but ultimately that there is this new format that's going to come up. Did you have a heads up from the start of the season that tribal council was going to be conducted a different way, or were you guys just all managing this on the fly?
Okay. So we knew before tribal council. I'm trying to remember. I don't know. We may have known at the beginning of the season, maybe, but we definitely knew. Yeah, I think maybe we did.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to think when they would have told us, because we knew going in to Final Tribal how the format was going to be. So now, if I'm thinking back, they had to have told us then before the game started, because that's the only time that all 20 people would have been there to hear it.
So did you change up your preparation based on the new format in any way, or did you just go in the same way that you would have gone on if it was the old format?
No, I think with the old format is you can't really prepare for it. You can, it's kind of like the old format is preparing for an interview, where you go in and you think you know, like, the generic questions that are going to be asked, like, why would you be good for this position? You know, and it translates to name your biggest move that you're proud of, you know. So those would be questions that you would prepare for going into an old final tribal council. But you don't, you know, just like when you get ready for an interview, you don't know what they're for sure going to ask you. So you can't having a speech per se. Anything you thought that they were going to ask may not even come up. So it doesn't give you a chance to explain everything that you want to. The way this new format was, is now I could just kind of make a list of all the things that I've done and why and how and pinpoint, and then on my good and where other people lacked. So I definitely think it benefited me, but not just me, everybody. It gives everybody a chance to explain their game.
Was there anything that you feel like was the key in that tribal council in terms of what you said?
Well, when you see the first portion, they call, what was that? The outwit portion was the very first one that we go over. That was completely dominated by my game, because Brad and Troyzan for a long time didn't really have much say in what went on. So you see that be completely controlled by me. And if you had to vote off of just that alone, I would have gotten 10 votes. Then when we move on to the outplay, I'm going, at first when they say outplay, I'm going, well, I didn't win any immunities, so what do I even have in this as a resume? And I'm like, okay, well, the advantage. Now make this into a story and make it sound, you know, big and grand, and how it's just, this was the hardest thing to do in the entire season, and, you know, the legacy advantage, and explain how you do this. And then also when they start, you know, patting Brad on the back for winning 5 immunities, which is amazing and unbelievable, you can't let them run with that. You got to point out the fact that he's a boy, you know, he's a professional athlete. You got to try whatever way you can to knock him down, right, to knock him down, because he blows you out of the water in this portion. And so, like, yeah, I could prepare for that way better.
Right. How do you shift and stop the momentum? I mean, yes. I guess it kind of is almost like, that I know this is more of Brad's forte, but a little bit of like a football game where it's like, you know, one side has momentum, and then how do you sort of blunt that momentum? I mean, would you say, is it closer to maybe a boxing match or a MMA fight where it's like one person is getting shots in? How do you stop that attack and turn it back into something that's going in your favor?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, if he just gets to excel, and then I don't have anything in that box, again, you know, when you look back on if it's an interview and you look down at the sheet and you're like, well, she got a zero for this section, you know, so at the end of the day, his score is going to be more comparable to mine if I get a complete zero. So I need to make something up here. And I need to knock him down and hope that, you know, because I have a zero and he can't have a 10. Let's bring him down to like a 5 and discredit how great it was that he actually did win 5. Because I'm telling you, that is hard to do. I couldn't even win 1, you know?
How confident did you feel walking out of that final tribal council? Did you feel like you had it?
I was 90% sure I won. I was probably 90% sure since, you know, the game ended, but you want to be 100%. So it didn't even matter. 90% is like being 1% sure, mm-hmm, because you still have, it still leaves room for doubt. And that would be a huge letdown to think you won $1 million and then you didn't.
So when the final tribal council ends and you're sitting there with Brad and Troy, and this is something I would never know about, but is there any sort of awkwardness between the three of you after that ends, where you're sort of talking about why my game was better, his game was worse, and then you guys have to, you know, then basically take you all to Ponderosa, you got to all fly home together. Is there any weirdness, or is it like, hey, we did this, we made it to the end?
Troy and I were like, hey, we did this, we made it to the end, hugging the whole time. We're sitting there, we're talking about how bad this sucks, you know, because it isn't fun to sit in those seats, but that's the price you pay for sitting in the final three. And we did it to Tony and Wu, you know, so it's just what happens. But Brad was actually mad at me. He was mad when I started taking shots on him, knocking him down on the whole, you know, why he shouldn't get all these props for the outplay portion. And because I think he thought we were all going to go in there and be nice to each other. But as he's getting this momentum, I'm like, this is it. If you don't say what you have to say now, you might regret this. And so definitely his attitude changed. I think all three of us would have been really, really close the whole time at Ponderosa after the fact. But because I took shots at Brad, he definitely got upset with me. And then was upset with me for quite a while after the fact.
All right, Tara, a lot of questions that I want to get to from the listeners, but I have to thank a sponsor. Is that okay?
Okay.
Before we get into questions, I just want to take a quick moment and thank the people over at TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price when you're looking to buy a newer used car, you need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident. With TrueCar, you get to see what other people in your local market pay for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. With TrueCar, you'll easily find the car that you want. TrueCar will also show you what other people in your area are paying for the car that you want. Now you'll know what a fair price is so you can feel confident. And once you register, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before going to a dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing to enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster process as well when they connect with the TrueCar certified dealers. And best of all, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Sarah, are you ready for some of these questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Marshall Kistner wants to know, what was the single funniest moment that you experienced out there on the island? The funniest moment.
Oh, gosh. Okay, is this family-friendly show or...
Okay, well, let's skip ahead 2 minutes. Okay. If you are listening with small children.
So, you know, everyone talks about this green monster thing with Troyzan.
Oh boy. Right? All right. Okay. Well, the double skip ahead 4 minutes. Okay. If you're listening with small children.
So real quick, I just remember one day he's standing in front of me and Zeke. We're sitting by the fire and he's talking to us, but he's standing up and we're looking up and we're like, Troy, you got to go put some shorts on. We cannot stand. We can't have you standing in front of us talking as we're looking up at you with wearing your just green underwear. So I think without saying too much, you can imagine what we're talking about and why. But I mean, it was just hilarious. It was just me, Zeke, and Troy. And yeah, there were a lot of funny things, but that one really sticks out in my mind.
Oh boy. The 21st cast member of Survivor Game Changers.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Troy Jr.
Felipe Shimon says, we've seen now both you and Jeremy play really strong winning games after watching most of the post-merge game play out from the jury bench. What are the biggest things that early jurors can take away from that experience to help them succeed like you two both did in All-Star seasons?
Well, we could see the rest of the game play out without being fed the BS, you know? So the people that are playing the game, Tony can feed them lines of BS and they can't necessarily decipher what's true and what's not. When you sit on the jury, you're not hearing the crap. You're seeing what's really happening. And so it gives you an advantage to sit there and remove yourself from the game. And I picked up on ways that Tony was successful and I used his techniques that I saw work on other people in my game to be successful.
Did you hear from Jeremy at all after the season? Because I feel like that you guys both played back to back in Cagayan and in San Juan del Sur the first time, and then both had similar placements in your original season, and then both come back to win an All-Star season. You both come from the same sort of he's a firefighter, you're a police officer. Are you guys friends?
So Jeremy and Val and I have kind of communicated on social media just real sporadically and nothing big, just like congratulations, things like that. I did do Facebook Live with him on Survivor, but other than that, no, I don't get to be involved in the Survivor community as much as I'd like to be just based on where I live and you know, the point I'm at in my life with my family.
Right. But that was probably in some ways an advantage for you coming into this season because you were a blank slate that people could just basically whatever they wanted to believe you were, they were able to sort of just like, oh, OK, I get who Sarah is. And it seemed like it was just a positive blank slate for most people.
Yeah, that definitely helped me going into the game. Like people will say, oh, well, you didn't really have a target. No, I didn't. But not having a target can also be a bad thing because you're easy prey to pick off. You're the low hanging fruit. So it is a double-edged sword. Like people look at it as like, oh, well, you're perfect. You're in the perfect situation. You are if you play it correctly, but you can also be Tony or Sandra and team up with each other and say, hey, we need to get rid of the low hanging fruit like Sarah. Let's stick together till at least the merge and let's get other big target people to hop on this train with us. And that, to me, is the route that they should have gone.
John Densford wants to know, did the tie vote rule affect you or anyone's strategy this season? They really made a big deal out of it in the beginning. Was that a factor in terms of the way anybody was thinking this season? If you tie the vote, it'll go immediately to a rock draw?
Yeah, I think we all wanted you would double check where the votes are going and the numbers and not just be so lackadaisical about it because you don't want to resort in drawing rocks. So it definitely came into the thought process of where we were going to vote, but I don't think it came into how are we going to use this as strategy in voting.
Brian Bender wants to ask you swapping your bracelet for trust sounded a lot like something Tony talked about in the pregame where he was going to give away his rocks that represented his family. Was this an idea that you guys discussed ahead of time? Did you read this or did you hear about this from Tony about how he was going to have clones that represented his family?
Yeah. So I read, well, on my first season, he had rocks in his pocket too of his wife and baby. So That wouldn't have surprised me that he was doing this again. But no, we hadn't talked about that. But also in Cagayan, I wore a necklace in Cagayan. And to convince the Brains tribe to keep me too, I had offered up my necklace. So I had actually attempted that move before. They were like, no, you don't have to give us your necklace. We're like, we trust you, you know. So they didn't actually accept my offering. But I had attempted it before in the past.
Edward Morris wants to know, are you glad that Tony was the only person from Cagayan that was on this season?
Well, it would depend on who they picked, who else. Like, I would have loved to play with Trish because I think definitely Trish and I would have stuck together. But if you, you know, it's only because Trish and I are such good friends. So she'd be about the only other person that I would for sure want to be playing with. I think like LJ and Alexis were also in the running. I think we would have played together, but I don't know that they would have been super loyal to me to the end, like someone like Trish would have been. So yeah, I'm glad it was just two of us.
Right. And then ultimately when Tony goes out so early, I think that does make the target on your back smaller because it's the opposite of the Korong 4 thing where nobody's saying, oh, well, Sarah, she's got this person waiting for her at the merge. You got to watch out for Sarah and this person. So it does end up being more of a blessing than a curse.
Right. And just like the blood versus water, you kind of lost your loved ones. So now you're on your own.
We talked about how you and Tony got back on the same page, but I know that you and Cass really got into it during Survivor Cagayan. But now you and Kumbaya Cass are totally good, right? So how did that happen?
Again, just maturity on my part. And Cass and I just, I mean, she would reach out and just kind of give a funny dig at me or whatever, or vice versa. And it just got to the point where it's like, you know, she's funny and let's just chat. And I apologize to her and things like that. And we've just come a long ways and we talk pretty frequently. And I like Cass. She's got great advice, not just in Survivor, but life in general. And she actually is a really good person.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That I think Cass is hilarious too. I love getting to have her on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely is funny. She's super witty. Like, I like Cass.
Will there ever be a Cass and Tony on the same page again?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say that they're definitely not that they're totally against each other, but Tony's just really high strung and I think Cass is more like mellow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to get people on the same, like Trish and Tony are both, you know, pretty high strung and that's why they can get along really well. But Cass is more like chilled out, you know.
I pitched an idea a couple of weeks ago on the podcast where we were talking about Battle of the Seasons. Would you come back in a scenario where it was some sort of Battle of the Seasons where it's three tribes and it's Cagayan versus two other seasons, like there's like a Pearl Islands tribe and a Philippines tribe, okay? And, you know, it's your Battle of the Seasons tribe. It's six people from Survivor Cagayan on the starting tribe. Is that something that would be interesting to you?
Oh, yeah. That, you know, when you asked me earlier if I would play, I'm like, oh, it'd have to be the perfect scenario. And I didn't hear that podcast when you brought this up, but that actually is a scenario that would work for me. I think I would have fun doing that. And it would give me a better chance at doing well, rather than like if they do an all winners or like some sort of season like that. I feel like I'm out there as an individual. If they do it as like a team, you know, and I'm on Team Cagayan, for sure. I think it makes the outlook on how I could do a lot better. And it definitely would make me want to play more.
Could be fun. Could be a fun idea. All right. Yeah. Jason Auric says, when did Cerie start calling you Officer Sarah? How long before everybody started calling you that? Are you seeing it on TV or did people call you Officer Sarah a lot on the island?
Yeah. So Cerie, okay. This is also, here's one of Cerie's tells. If Cerie nicknames you, she likes you. She called Andrea Cinderella. Okay. And then she would call me Officer Sarah. When Cerie was mad at me, she would not call me Officer Sarah. And that's how I could tell that she was mad at me. And that's one of her tells is I knew I was in good with Ceree always because she wasn't nicknaming people she didn't like. Like Michaela had a nickname too, like maybe like sweet potato pie or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so if she nicknamed you, she liked you. But then, yeah, Zeke started calling me that. Everybody started calling me that. Even some of the producers would call me that. So, and then back at home now, people kind of just give me crap about it. But
okay. Do you like the name?
Oh yeah, I don't mind it. It's better than just Sarah, right?
Yeah, it's good to have the branding. I think that's important. This is from David Baltazar, who says, "Did the bank accept the torn check?" So just set up that story again, just in case people missed it from the finale stuff.
Okay, so I have the check in my hand. I go to hug Sandra. I drop the check. Sandra takes a step back and puts like her shoe on it. Tony's trying to be helpful, bends over to pick it up. He picks it up and it tears because Sandra's standing on the corner of it. And so, yes, they accepted it. And they actually didn't even ask for my ID. So it all worked out. It's in the bank.
Okay, good. Were you nervous?
No. So I work financial crimes. That's what I do. I'm now at the police department. I'm a financial crimes investigator. So I actually work with, I know a lot about checks and cashing, forged checks, whatever, what can happen. And so I was not concerned whatsoever.
Okay.
Worst case scenario is they would have just cut me another check. You know what I mean?
Yeah. CBS is good for it.
Yeah.
David also wanted to know, Sarah, you tweeted to Steven that the vote steal parchment mentioned him. Can you elaborate what the clue actually said?
Yes. Can you wait 1 second? I'll go get it.
Sure.
Specifically to you.
Okay.
Just 1 second. Okay. So, I have it right here.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So it came with a couple, two sheets of paper. And on the one sheet, it says, "Congratulations, you have found a steal a vote advantage. This advantage has only been used once. Stephen Fishbeck used it unsuccessfully in Survivor Second Chances when he attempted to vote out Joe. Instead, Stephen was blindsided and sent home." So that's exactly what it says. So when it says, when I say nobody's ever played this correctly, and then he wanted to argue that maybe he did or whatever. no, it actually told me on the piece of paper that you played it unsuccessfully. So
why was that pertinent information? What Stephen did with it?
Yeah, I don't know. it literally says it. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
Okay.
You can post it up on your wherever.
Okay.
But I actually sent it to Stephen to show him that I'm telling the truth.
Okay, and he believed you after that? He didn't think you like Photoshopped it?
Oh yeah. Come on, you. He did believe me, but I am not savvy when it comes to anything like that. So it would be impossible for me to do something like that.
Okay. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for talking through everything from your game. I really think that you did a fantastic job this season. I hope that you're getting your due, because I think really when you go through all of this, you know, you really did a great job in the first half of the game. You know, you didn't have to go to a lot of the tribal councils, but you built relationships. It's a very like Big Brother way of like going through a season. I know that's not everybody likes to hear when I compare Big Brother to Survivor, but my advice to the people that go on Big Brother is try to keep your nose clean the first half of the game, and then you know, you want to be, you know, making all these moves in the second half of the game, because you know it's a long way to go once everybody starts to, you know, catch on to what you're doing in the first half of the game.
Sure. And I'm a huge Big Brother fan also, so I get to watch not only how Survivor plays out, but how Big Brother plays out. And you can see more of the strategy in Big Brother because more of it's on TV. And you can watch like the After Dark, and I mean, you can watch it all the time. But
sorry, I had no idea about this about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like a huge reality TV junkie.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Big time. And a huge Big Brother fan. Like, one of my favorite things at the after party was I got to meet Victor and Paul.
Yeah.
And I took a picture with them. It was like literally one of my favorite things.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I had no idea. All right. So, so you're pumped up for Big Brother 19 around the corner.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, this is really good. So Sarah, we need a hashtag for this podcast. Do you have anything?
Leakers. Like, okay. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Yes. Like hashtag leakers, hashtag alternative facts.
Well, the only issue there is that you're going to be on a lot of threads, I think, that don't have anything to do with you or Survivor.
Oh, sure. But that's it. Don't be the leaker.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah, very fun to go through everything. That I do hope that as we go into Survivor 35, even Big Brother 19, if you're up for it, I'd love to chat more in the future.
Absolutely. I really have a really boring life, so I'm totally down for it. So if you ever have anyone like cancel,
stop cancel. That you're the reigning champ now, Sarah. There's a lot that goes into now.
Am I in front of TV then?
Yes.
No,
Tony doesn't. Tony doesn't take my my calls or anything. That
you're
Tony.
Kidding me.
He's in. Yeah, he's MIA. I messaged him before the finale. I said, "Hey, Tony, I hope I see you this week." I didn't hear anything from him.
Oh, Rob! After all the love you give him, and he treats you that way, I'll never treat you that way.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he's upset with me because of that. If he's upset with the coverage this season. Or, you know, I know he's sensitive, but, you know, I still, you know, no matter what, I still love Tony. And, but that, thank you for, entertaining us, this season and writing back to me, unlike, the other half of Cops Are Us.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah. And thanks for having me. It was, I'm glad I got the chance to, you know, put my side out there and hopefully people, it answered any questions that people do have.
Okay. If you could follow Sarah on Twitter, she is at Sarah Lucina, very easy to find on Twitter. How come almost every Survivor is verified and not you, the winner of Survivor Game Changers?
Honestly, I don't really care.
Something is wrong with the world.
Right. I don't care. I don't care. I don't need to be verified.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know how you do it. I want to be the only survivor not verified.
Oh, well, so you're closing in on that. You're closing in on that.
People verified.
Well, Sarah, great job. And all the best to the whole family, you and Wyatt and Knox, and have a great summer. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Sarah Lucina, great job here on the podcast. And still, I can't get over that she's a Big Brother fan. Who knew? I had no idea that was a total blindside for me. So in terms of what we have coming up, first off, you know, a lot going on with the world of Big Brother in addition to the audiobook that Taryn and I released the first chapter. We're also going to be doing a primer on Big Brother. Sarah Lucina doesn't need it. But if you are considering watching Big Brother this summer, I'm going to be getting together with Taryn Armstrong later this week to give you our updated version of why a Survivor fan should check out Big Brother. And we'll talk through any of the unanswered questions that you might have about Big Brother. And then I've got two off-season podcasts coming up. One is going to be a deep dive into the psychology of making the social game work. I'm going to talk with Amanda Rabinowitz. She is a psychologist and a longtime listener of the show. We're going to be diving into a number of topics in that area. And then Mike Bloom is going to come by the podcast to talk about some of his favorite non-playing characters in the history of Survivor. So that should be a lot of fun also with Mike. So make sure you don't miss any of the shows we've got coming up. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, and word on the street is that the Big Brother cast reveal is going to be the beginning of next week, so I'm sure we'll have a lot of coverage about that as well. So looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments about my interview with Sarah, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.